across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Do you know what I really wish? I mean, I like James Whale very much. You know, the man is a legendary broadcaster, but I wish he didn't unplug the headphones. Always catches me. Good evening. It's Jake Yap here with Catherine Boyle, live until 1 o'clock this morning. Let's get the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap in for Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening. How are you? It's Jake Yap and Catherine Boyle.
Boom.
Boom. Exactly. Well done. Well done, you. Hey, obviously, Ian Lee's not here, and that's fine.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about why anymore.
We know why.
We can move on.
If you don't know why, then you should find out why.
It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. But the same rules apply. This is your show. It's not my show. It's your show.
Well, up to a point. If you're boring, we'll fire you off. If you talk nonsense, we'll let you know.
Mm.
But if you're particularly
belligerent about a certain highly contentious topic. I'm not thinking of anything from last night at all.
Yeah, if you come on and you give us a lecture rather than have a conversation, we'll let you know.
Yeah, guys, it's about discourse. Yeah, it's about conversation. It's about a free exchange of ideas and a loving and respectful environment and that. Anyway, 03444991000 is the number.
That's right, yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the dramatic pause. Later on in the show, we've got Good Morning China, where we're going to talk to Stuart Wigan. China. There's some bad hombres in China.
Have you noticed that recently he swapped hombres, because maybe that's a little bit racist, to dudes?
Dudes.
Bad dudes.
Bad dudes. Yeah. There's some bad, I can't remember if it's gout. It's gauchos, isn't it? Is that what, no, what do they call?
What, in Argentina they're gauchos,
no,
yeah.
Guapo, what am I, I don't know.
Guapos?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Guacamole. It doesn't matter. Oh, fine. It's fine.
Stop.
No, I didn't mean... No, I mean, what is it that Mexican people call...
Gringos.
Gringos.
You know where that comes from?
There's some bad gringo... It
comes from the soldiers singing Green Grow the Rushes, oh, gringo.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the ideas.
That's a really beautiful...
Gringo.
That's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They also call us fresas. Strawberries.
Why?
Because we go red in the sun.
Ah, that's nice too. Less nice, you know, really, in the long term. I don't know if you saw this story, Catherine.
I didn't look at any papers today. No.
Unbelievable. You're doing all your charity work, weren't you?
Yeah. Don't have to talk about it, mate.
No, God, no, no. But I do. it's like this headline in the Evening Standard today, which is, Londoners drown out their emotions with cigarettes and alcohol.
Flippin' heck.
You're kidding. Oh, that's... shocking.
I think it's very old-fashioned now to see someone smoking an actual cigarette. You see them blowing on the old hubbly bubblies.
Sucking on the robots.
Yeah. And the thing I find really odd, some of them are choosing, and there'll be people out there, there'll be someone doing it now while they're listening, choosing the super cloudy vapes.
Are they super cloudy ones?
They want to look like Ivor the Engine.
I didn't know there were super cloudy
ones. Yeah, you can choose it for, like, flavour, or you can choose it for cloudiness.
Extra fog.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen people walking down the street, and it is, like...
I do find vaping disgusting. And it's disgusting because you suddenly realise how much of other people's breath you're breathing at any given moment, because it doesn't dissipate. And you're like, oh, my, look where all his breath's going. That's unbelievable.
Suck it up, buttercup.
I don't want to suck it up. I don't want my air to taste of sweets. Disgusting. Anyway, this apparently Londoners are drowning out their emotions with cigarettes and alcohol. Well, it's not like, you know, people invented cigarettes and alcohol going, oh, this is a very refreshing and delicious drink. And this is a fun way of cleaning air with fire. And then a few weeks later went, do you know, there's a weird side effect that comes with these. Like, of course they do. That's the purpose of cigarettes and alcohol, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, cigarettes used to be given out to the soldiers as a kind of refreshing... thing.
Right. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. And like in the World War, I'm going to say one, but I'm not sure, definitely two, they would get free fags.
Well, in the...
And it's good for your throat, apparently. You know, it's really not good for your throat, essentially.
In the 30s, in Germany, inflation was so insane that $1 would buy you over a trillion marks or something. It was crazy. And so cigarettes became currency. They used it for money.
It's like in my house, biscuits. right? You can buy.
It's true.
You can buy and sell children with biscuits.
Yeah, you can
get them to do anything for biscuits.
Clean the room. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a party ring.
I bought 2 packs of Oreos today. You would think I had bestowed the fortune of the elven kings.
I hope you used it to leverage.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah,
what
bribery.
What did you get?
Because I don't understand money. I've tried money with the children before and I've said, look, if you make your beds every single day, it's just making your bed.
Yeah.
I will give you £2 each.
I just want to impart to my children an understanding of the value of biscuits.
Yeah, no, they get biscuits, they don't get money.
That's amazing. Anyway, the guy who said this legendary quote, Londoners drown out their emotions with cigarettes and alcohol, is a spiritual shaman.
Of course he is.
Yeah. I want to be a spiritual shaman. How do you become... Do you simply just have to have enough front to say, I'm a spiritual shaman?
I would suggest so, yeah. And maybe some feathers.
He's worked with stars, including Gwyneth Paltrow.
Who famously steams her privates. Carry on.
Oh, yeah, which is another bad idea. Bad idea. I would, I'd poach them. But,
you should see the damage I've done to my ears just with a curling tongue. I'm not going to start messing about with any more delicate areas.
His name is Durek.
What?
Durek.
Derek.
Durek.
His name is Derek,
isn't it? Like Durex, but with a K.
Yeah, but his real name is Derek, isn't it?
Yeah. Durek Verrett.
What?
Durek Verrett. Known as Shaman Durek. Hello, Shaman Durek. He said that...
Derek Verrick?
Derek Verrett.
Go on.
Anyway, he's Californian, but he's in. He works in London. And 12 years ago, he developed complications from an illness which left him clinically dead, but now claims he's much better. and he recovered using his knowledge of healing. Here we go.
Yeah.
And it's all about light. He says, I have a growing number of clients in London. The issue I see in London is that people have forgotten how to be childlike, their light and their joy. There is so much negativity. It is an illness, a darkness. London is so concerned about how people see them, they trap their emotions inside and they are screaming from within. They drown emotions out with alcohol and cigarettes and biscuits. That's what he said. That's what he said.
The best biscuits.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's just...
How'd you drown out your... No, maybe we should not...
I'm looking at his webpage now.
Oh, you found Shaman
Durek.
Shaman Durek. Oh.
Derek, as his family call him.
Ah, Derek. What's his services then?
In order to bring harmony, success and well-being to your life, Shaman Durek offers various services best fitting to your life's necessities.
Sounds very tiring.
He creates personal healing programs under the guidance of his spirits. That tells you nothing. Okay, shamanic experiences.
Oh.
Flipping it. This is... After the Council of Elders are contacted on your behalf...
Council of Elders!
Right, this isn't a full sentence, by the way, Derek. After the Council of Elders are contacted on your behalf, full stop. Information is shared with you, full stop, then a shamanic path is laid out individually.
That's how he does it. That's how he has it on cards. Yeah. So he knows how to read it.
This may include spirits of the higher realm entering your body physical body detox of your system by touching, pushing and tapping.
Here we go. So a couple of djinns, that's the higher spirits.
The methods may include different treatments from a varied of cultures.
A varied of cultures,
His
guys.
Words, not mine, it's or anyone else's.
It's a varied of cultures. Let me consult my elders.
Get this. It may take more than one session, or it could just be one, depending on the person's issues.
All right, so it's one or more than one?
Depending on how much you can.
How much, yeah.
And preference of knowledge needed to create total change, both internal and external, for empowerment, healing and living pure love and being free.
Oh, babe.
But what do you do, Derek? We're never going to find out.
Love and light, Derek. Love and light to you. Love and light. And sending out, you know, lots of love and
Have
lots of light.
Have you ever had anything like that? Like an ear candle or a, nose burger?
I think I have one just now. I did it when I was doing my A-levels. I got quite stressed on my A-levels.
I think that's the design of the A-level.
That's basically its function, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I saw a hypnotherapist.
Oh yeah,
and it was in Woolwich in South London, just off the South Circular.
It's a relaxing place.
Yeah, I mean until the big juggernauts went by because you were sort of quite close to the street, and you basically had to lie down on this woman's couch, And she was very nice. And she's like, oh, yeah, hi, how's it going? And he said, yeah, great. And she said, yeah, brilliant. If you want to just make yourself, you know, really comfortable and just lie there and close your eyes. And she said, I'm just going to pop on some music. It's just you know, just music to help you relax.
What
and
kind
it
was, of music was it?
It would be like this. Here it comes. Ready? Hang on. Put my phone. There we go. And her voice would change completely. So instead of being like all up, yeah, okay, she'd be like, such a warm feeling. I'm feeling so relaxed. And I'd be lying there with my eyes shut, thinking, what? Someone else just walked in the room. What? Gonna count down from 10. 10. You're feeling very relaxed.
Who's coughing?
It's the panpipe player. It's hard work. 9. Letting everything go now. Letting all the cares of the day go. 8. Not freaking out. Not screaming or anything like that. Not like the last one. 7. Reaching into your pockets. 7. Pulling out your credit card. 6. Ignoring the fact that I said 7 twice.
I noticed that. I thought it was just me.
Keep your eyes closed. Such a comfortable feeling. 5. Putting the card into the chip and pin. 4. Entering the pin number. 3, 2, 1, you're back in the room. Thanks very much for taking part. Did you feel better? I couldn't handle it at all. I didn't go under, there was nothing.
See,
no.
I don't know. The only experience I've ever had with anything like that, vaguely mystical, was when I was pregnant for the first time. Stupidly, I did it again. And I was worried about...
Babe, don't say that. You can't say that.
I don't regret it, not for a minute.
Of course you don't. A little bit.
No. I mean... No, it's fine.
No, right.
It's
no,
fine.
Yeah, of course.
It's fine.
Of course.
Stand
it's just
by
your
my
whole
decisions.
Life and it's ruined. That's fine.
It's not ruined. It's just spoiled a bit. Mm. So, yeah, the first time around, and when you don't really know about childbirth, apart from that it's going to hurt quite a lot. Mm. And it did. It smarted.
Was it stingy?
It's
that
so
one?
Smart. It does
it's
sting.
Stingy. It's stingy. It is quite stingy.
But I bought a birth hypnotherapy thing because I believed that if I listened to these CDs that maybe it would just slip out like a wet seal and I'd barely notice.
Slip out like a wet seal. Brilliant. I hope you had a bucket of Sprats on standby.
Well.
Oh!
What I didn't know is that the baby was in the womb and she was so comfortable. She was like the thinker. She had the fist to the face, which made
really?
It an extra difficult... Mm. You know, like that game Perfection where you've got to find the right gap for the shape.
I don't want
anyway, so I listened to this CD and I must admit that I'd never heard more than 10 minutes of it because I always fell asleep. But I don't know what it's because of her boring voice.
Such a
I remember
warm.
She would do things like, we're going down. Right, imagine a light.
Love and light.
Going down, down to where your baby lies.
Yeah.
Very, very pregnant woman lying down for more than 5 minutes. I mean, it's only going to end one way, isn't it, really?
And if blow-offs happen, just letting them go. We do need to sort out today's safe word. This is the word that you can invoke at any time.
Yesterday's, of course, was Ken.
It was. Yes, it was. And Jem tweeted it a lot across the show. But yeah, we need a safe word. So let's decide on one of those quickly. You can text it if you want at 87222. Text me with the word talk.
Hear your beautiful
but
voice.
It would be nice if you just rang us up, to be honest. I mean, that's the purpose of the show. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Dave has already suggested, how about Derek as the safe word tonight?
Derek.
Or panpipes. And Simon says, I'm a shaman every Friday night around 9:30.
Oh,
I don't even know. And Dan says, really? Mm. Okay. Really?
Yeah. Okay. I've been doing this show a long time.
Okay. And Dan says, does mixing tea and Pepsi Max not already make you a shaman? Yes, I mix black tea with Pepsi Max and that's okay.
I want to hear from anyone who's, if you're that person who's had the candle in the ear roll. Because yeah, apparently it does things.
I bet it does.
Have you had your...
You put a candle anywhere, it's going to do something.
Have you had your toxins withdrawn?
Yeah, you will feel quite rough, actually, after this.
Drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
I've had bubbly mud. Have you had bubbly mud?
Oh, yeah, I went to Mexico once. I had it on the plane all the way home. After the break, we're going to be talking to Gatford.
JCAP in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call if you'd like to ring us up, particularly if you're a healing spiritual shaman called Durek or Uric or, you know, Curvin. But let's talk to Gary in Catford. It's Gatford. Good evening. How are you?
Oh.
Oh, he's gone. No, that's actually a really good sign.
He's under.
Yeah, that's a really good sign. It means he's fully relaxed.
Could you put the pan pipes back on, please?
Yes, I can, my darling. Of course I can.
Play the pan
pipes. Love and light to you. Love and light to you. Okay.
In numbers 7, 5, 2, 4.
There we go.
Now, what I'd like you to do...
American Express.
We take everything.
You take American Express. Just need the sort code now.
Yeah. Could you just email me that on MP3 and I reckon I could cure insomnia, probably.
just listen back to the show. It's all on the website.
I've not had anything in me, like the wax thing is, but I've had the thing where they take hair out of your ear by lighting them. Is
you
that
what?
The Anthea Turner, what?
I went to a Turkish barber's once.
Ah, yes.
And they
singe you.
And yeah, that's it. And it's an amazing feeling. I'm not sure if it's the same as, you know, what you were talking about, but it's putting fire in your ears, so it must be close.
They singe your ears out.
Yeah. You can get the Remington fuzz away.
Really?
Yeah, I bought that for my dad once for his birthday. Yeah. Wasn't impressed. Turns out that's a bit like buying a woman an iron.
it's but very spiritual, though.
I bought one of those. But if you go to a Turkish barber's, right, they'll do you the cutthroat razor thing, right?
Oh, God.
It's worrying.
And then, Gatford, tell him how they finish you off.
So they light a little sort of, like, it looks like an incense thing, but it's not. And then they stick it on the end of your hairs in your ear. You've got them, Jake, yeah?
Yeah, I've reached a certain age, yeah.
It happens to us all. And it just goes, like, really quickly. And it feels really weird, but then it's like taking, you know, plants out by the roots kind of thing. You know, it deals with it for a while.
It deals.
You know what I mean? You know, it's no.
Yeah. Could he do? Do they do any other intimate?
No, they don't do nose hair like that.
Okay.
They will do your eyebrows if you ask them. Mm. That's always encouraging as a man.
Mm.
I don't like the cutthroat razor though.
No.
It's one slip and that's it.
Well, that isn't that part of the fun of it? You know, it's Jeopardy.
I prefer not to play Russian roulette when having my hair cut.
No, I don't know. I think I might
Turkish
be able to...
roulette, I'm not sure.
Are you a very hairy man, Gatford?
Yes.
Do you have to? Because I remember my granddad...
I'm not going to lie to you.
We used to go and visit my granddad, my mum used to have to do his neck shave. Right, a neck shave. And that was really just to differentiate between his back and his head.
I had a bit of surgery recently, and they shaved the bottom of my back before doing something there as well. And they didn't tell me until they were like, right, they just went...
The bottom of your back, you mean the top of your bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you feel about that, Gatford?
Well, I feel like I've been violated, but...
did you not want them to sort of finish the job just to make you feel a bit more feminine?
Yes, they hadn't got half hours. a bit of a rush.
We're going to need a bigger bucket.
Yeah. Going to need more people. What's this thing about putting candles in your ears?
Well, there's a Hopi ear candle.
Yeah, Jem had this done.
Oh, Jem.
On Twitter. He says, my wife, and I had Hopi ear candles, DIY style.
Oh.
I think we spent too long laughing at each other to do any relaxing.
No. Well, apparently it draws out all your toxins.
Yeah, and you'll actually feel quite rough the next day.
Probably puts a few more in as well.
I have no idea.
What do you do? You stick a birthday cake...
I don't want to give people instructions because I don't know the techniques and I'm not sure many people do.
I assume you just go down to IKEA and get some of those, you know, little candles and whack it in your ear.
I think it's more of a spill rather than a proper candle. I don't know.
You don't want it to spill.
Oh, crikey, can you imagine?
But you can, the thing about all these treatments is they can always show you a bit of, like, mucky rag afterwards, can't they? Saying, this is what's come out of you.
I've just done the dog's anal glands.
Oh, God!
Sorry.
Have you ever had your ears syringed?
No, but I hear it's delicious.
Oh.
No, but I once spent the night in a truck stop.
What?
No, it's nothing. Go on.
Close enough.
Yeah.
No, they stick a load of... I had my ears blocked up for some reason. I don't know what I did. But they stick a load of warm water in your ear and flush everything out. And, oh, when you're finished, it's like airplane popping, you know, when your ears pop.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That sounds like quite a rush.
Yeah. Check it out. Try and get that done at the weekend.
Check it out.
Something to do?
Yeah, I heard
someone had a bad experience. They got their ear syringed and it like perforated their eardrum and stuff. I'm a bit scared about that stuff.
Oh, they didn't warn me about that.
No, exactly. Oh. No. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your bare back experience.
Thanks.
And I wish
there words I don't want to hear in conjunction with each other next to Gafford ever again.
Come on, why not?
What?
Unbelievable.
Disappointed in you, Boyle.
And Boyle. It's a good, yeah. Listen, we wish you love and light, Gatford.
Thank you, Roddy. I'll just resume the position.
Love and light to you. There he goes. Just sliding off. That's so nice. I'm a really spiritual person. And, like, I can see people's auras and that.
Can you?
Yeah.
I'll see it a bit more delicately.
I can see an aura. Can I just say, do you mind my saying? Because some people, but you've got, like, a red aura, like, aura. Are you bleeding at the moment? No, it doesn't matter. Did you have a cutthroat shave? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Now, someone who's called that number.
Yeah.
Some would say with a somewhat crashing predictability, is Ken in Newcastle. Oh. Good evening.
Good evening there, Catherine and Jake. Thank you for taking my call.
Love and light to you, Ken. Love and light, always.
How's this going to end?
It's a loving and respectful environment.
Yeah,
now,
we have to respect one another. We might have different viewpoints, but there's things that I don't want to come on and preach to you, as Catherine's mentioned earlier,
and yet,
I'd like to discuss some things with you.
Go on.
Excellent. Is it abortion?
No.
Okay,
is it gaiety?
It's a very, very serious situation which was mentioned in the news tonight.
Oh, here we go. Love and light to
UK. North Korea.
Oh,
crikey. Okay, go on.
Now, I listened to the news and they're even discussing, this is what they were discussing, the possibility of a preemptive strike using nuclear weapons against Korea, North Korea. Did you hear it mentioned lately?
I've heard, James Whale popped out during his show.
Yeah, he said we're all screwed,
and said something about
he?
it's World War III and China's going to blow up America and it's all going to kick off. Is that what's happening, Ken?
No, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. All I'm saying is what I'm pointing to here, Jake, is that this even discussing now the possibility of using nuclear weapons in a contained way as a preemptive strike. And I've also discussed that possibility in regards of Iran. Iran right now, these things are actually happening today. This is not fake news. These things are happening. Iran is possibly trying to produce nuclear weapons, and they are threatening to use them, especially against Israel, because they want Israel wiped off the map. Mm. Now, they have mentioned a few times in the newscasts, and I've heard it myself, that if the U.S. and Israel find out proof that the Iranians are actually trying to produce nuclear weapons, they already have ballistic rockets to fire them, they will. There's a possibility they would need to take a smaller size nuclear attack on the bunkers which are deep underground to get to the production line of the nuclear weapons. So they're talking about these matters. Have you heard about these things?
No. What's your final thought on this, Ken?
I was going to say, how does that make you feel, Ken? And what should we do about it?
Well, the thought I'm just like to leave with you and discuss with you is that these are rumours of war, and I'm not saying they're going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but the world is in a very precarious situation, as we know. But the Bible prophesies that there is a coming new world economic order which will be established upon marking the population on the right hand or the forehead, so that a person can participate in the economy. Now, when we look at that, when we look at that just in an open way, we think, well, that would never happen. Yeah. But if there are tremendous wars happen, yeah, and there's economic collapse and there's chaos and there's panic, the world situation will dramatically change when the world will actually become willing,
yeah,
to take this mark of the beast, which is prophesied in, yeah, Revelation 13.
Totally. Ken, we have to leave it there for a break, I'm afraid to say.
But this is an important subject, Jake.
It is a very important,
subject.
Yeah. There is absolutely no doubting that. Ken, I wish you love and light always. I, right now, am making a mark with my right hand, extending the forefinger and the thumb. And as you said, placing it on the forehead. But that is not to you. That is to myself, Ken. And the L is for love and it is for light. 0344-499-1000. We're having a very spiritual night here tonight. So give us a call. We'll be back with more after this. Okay.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000. That is an approximation of the phone number you need to call. It's Jake Yap and Catherine Boyle. And Ed's here too. All right, Ed. Hey. All right, mate.
Until what's 1 o'clock noise? This
morning. He didn't have time to clear his throat, bless him. He's a professional. He jumps in. He leaps in. Like a gazelle.
Have you had your tea yet, Ed?
Have you had your tea?
Yeah.
You have. What would you have tonight, Ed? What did you
have tonight? Beef cannelloni. Microwave meal. Wasn't too great.
He tends to have a microwave meal.
Yeah. I keep forgetting to bring the stuff that's in the fridge. So I have to go to Waitrose and pick up something on the way.
And it's beef cannelloni.
Well, tonight it was.
Sometimes it's like curry. Oh. What did you have yesterday, curry?
No, yesterday was spaghetti and meatballs. Because it was reduced to clear, so I thought, I'm going to save 50p on that one.
That's dodgy territory, that. I've got some Busker Pan if you need it later.
Okay, cool, cheers.
Hey, so we've been talking about all that spiritual stuff and healing and
Do you know, the older I get, the less spiritual I am. I used to believe in all that stuff. And
did you?
Slowly, yeah, all the mystery's been, like, squeezed out of me.
It's stingy. It is quite stingy when it's squeezing out.
Now I'm a massive cynic and don't really believe in anything.
Another thing that I tried when I was about 15, 16 maybe, was Alexander technique.
Oh, yeah. That's breathing, right?
Well, it's breathing.
Which is always good for you.
It is good for you, isn't it? Breathing. It's so good for you. Everyone should breathe. Most people should breathe. And it's about posture and aligning your spine and everything and stuff. And
how's that going for you?
Yeah, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at me. So look at me. So I was like 15, 16, and what it meant was that sort of on Wednesday afternoons, I think, I had to go round to this lady's house. Her name is Helen. She's very nice and everything. Mum would sort of drop me off. Say, off you go. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I'd have to climb onto her. It's quite rickety. Wallpaper pasting bench.
All right, yeah, the old trestle table.
Trestle table, yeah. It was quite
rickety. Did it have a face hole in it, or was it just a trestle table?
No face hole. It was literally, I'm not saying that sort of figuratively, it was literally a wallpaper pasting bench. Quite rickety.
There's a slight dip in the middle.
Yeah. And so you'd lie there thinking, while she sort of just gently sort of pushed your legs. You'd lie there on your back with your knees raised, and she sort of just gently pushed your legs upward. And it was just very stressful because you spent the whole hour basically just trying to retain your blow off.
Okay,
that's all you were trying to do, is just not blow off.
And like yoga class.
I remember I did one once.
Yeah, but that's
horrific.
Okay. That's the expulsion of toxins.
And we both sort of just went, oh, we're just going to pretend this hasn't happened.
Oh, man.
It was so excruciating.
Well, probably worse for her. It's always worse when it's not yours. True, though, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. Your own smell, brilliant. so quick this evening. We held off for longer than this last night. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Have you tried any spiritual healing business? I'd love to know. A few people have got into. Dan says that he makes candles, and none should be placed in any body orifice.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
I think Hopi ones are made. I don't know, but the way I've seen them, they're largely sort of paper.
That would burn very quickly.
No, but what I mean is it's... And it kind of
it's
sucks.
A spill. It's like a spill.
Yeah, so, you know...
Oh, and the air, it's hollow, right?
Yeah,
and so the air gets drawn through
exactly,
the...
Exactly. The fire on the end makes a vacuum, and so that's what sucks up all your earwax and all that.
I see.
Gubbins.
I've got it. Okay. And Cram says, could you ask Ken when he calls up again tomorrow? Which I hope he will.
You know he will.
Yeah. How much the tinfoil for his hat costs? I don't think that's his shtick, to be honest with you. I don't think he's a tinfoil hat kind of a guy. There you go. Jem.
Everyone should be checking their hands for the mark of the beast, mind you.
Tribute to, yeah, the mark of the beast. Yes. Mm. So, what was it? Jem also said, now feels like a good time to take the bins out. Fine.
That was while a certain person was on.
Yeah, that's all
done. Bit rude.
So that's all the alternative therapies you've tried? You
the hypnobirthing. And it didn't help at all.
How do you feel about the ASMR stuff?
What's that?
It's there's lots of it on YouTube.
Asthma.
Yes, it's a dating app for people with breathing difficulties.
ASMR.
Who need to date really fast.
Oh, is this the one where it's the whispering woman?
It sounds that I suppose they call them eargasms, right?
Oh, I know, God. Which is just that, so grim. That makes me feel...
So grim.
That's people going, I'm going to talk to you like that
for
the next half hour.
Yeah. Or it's... it's this sound as well. Are you ready? I'll do this for you.
Some people go crazy for that stuff. I don't like it.
I have to say, the sound of my little boy eating a carrot is a very happy sound.
Yeah.
Just crunching away. Because, you know, he's eating something good. It's very peaceful, you know? No, that's not. You get squeamish because you hated it when I made mouth tea slurpy noises last night. And I was like, oh.
You know, my business
is going to be a long week
for
Catherine.
My business is noises. And you make some extraordinary noises. But when I go in and see my little girls when I get home from work at like 3 a.m, I always go and give them a little kiss when they're asleep.
Yeah.
And they're children are always angelic when they're unconscious, aren't they?
So am I. And usually in a skip.
And then I go into my my bedroom. My husband's in there. You know, it's that business. But my youngest, who's 5, was snoring last night, and that was quite a delightful sound. You know, because it wasn't a proper. It wasn't a. You know, it wasn't all that. It was just a little growl. I'm a tiny person.
Aww.
And she was obviously fast asleep, which is always, to be honest, my preferred state for children.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not making a mess or wiping bogeys on you.
They're making memories.
Oh, making a mess. That's we were watching Super Nanny for the first time, and my 5-year-old today. She could not get over some of the behaviour.
Really?
And I said, this is what happens when people do not have the same rule we've got in my house. If you ask my daughters... There's only one rule in our house, and they both mimic it in a kind of uncanny, a little bit like those twins from The Shining kind of way.
Okay.
And it's, do not mess with mummy, you will not win.
Wow, that's quite dark.
Yeah. Good though, isn't it?
For you.
So when we watched Super Nanny, I said, this is what happens when you mess with mummy. I mean, they had never seen anything like it. This poor woman. She had 4 children, 3 of them boys, 1 girl. The girl didn't get any screen time whatsoever because she was obviously not the main problem. The eldest boy and the youngest boy, they were spitting over the fence. They were lobbing stuff out. At one point, the eldest boy had a hammer. I mean, first of all, why has he got a hammer? And he's hitting the
windowsill.
Yeah. He hammered in the morning, hammered in the evening, all over this land. They were a nightmare, and my 5-year-old's face was just like, what is going on here? Well, this is what happens when you mess with mummy.
Man. Wow.
It will not be happening in our house anytime soon.
Angela has said, hi, aliens are coming. God is an alien. Boom. Hope to speak to you tomorrow. Boom.
You can't just boom that. You've got to ring that. 0344-499-1000.
Yeah, come on, guys. I mean, really.
God is an alien, guys. Come on. This requires further explanation.
It does, really. You've got to elaborate on that one. You can't just do that through the contact form at talkradio.co.uk/contact.
I mean, you can, but...
Unless it's, like, first contact of an alien. Did you see that film?
Was that the one with...
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, rubbish, wasn't it? It was called Contact.
I quite liked it. Oh, yeah, it was Contact.
And it's a... spoiler alert, it said dad at the end. Or it comes in the form of her dead dad.
You didn't give people a second to tune away.
It's been out for 10 years. I mean, true, that is a spoiler alert enough. Yeah. That was absolute tripe, that film.
I thought it was really great.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really, though?
It's one of the many films I've bought on Blu-ray and gone, oh, I'll watch that, and then never watched. Oh.
But you wanted to hold it in your possession.
Yeah.
I bought
quite a few films like that.
Don't Look Now the other day. And
what's that? Is that a scary film?
Oh, my goodness, that is the scariest film ever.
Really?
Yeah. I'll lend it to you if you want.
I get quite infatuated with the idea of watching a horror film, and then I start watching it and go, what am I doing this for?
This Don't Look Now is terrifying on two levels. One, actually terrifying, like this kind of supernatural stuff going on and people getting slashed up and that.
Okay.
Two, the longest, most explicit, hairy 70s sex scene between parents in film. Julie Christie, dreamy. Donald Sutherland, very hairy. That's, going at it, hammer and tongue, for a good... I mean, it
if
felt
only
like...
it had been Gatford, at least you'd have the token patch on the lower back.
I know that back.
I've seen that somewhere.
Honestly, that was on, and my dad said, why don't you watch this film? We were in the same room, right? He was behind his newspaper.
That's always
right,
fun.
So we're watching this film, and it went on for ages. Mm. And all I could hear... It's me pretending I hadn't noticed that this is horrific.
Yeah.
And all I could hear, I didn't dare look at him, but the corner of the room was... My dad pretending to read the newspaper. We both knew what was going on. I mean, you couldn't miss it. Because this was one of these sex scenes where, you know, the talk was around it that they were actually doing it.
Oh, right, one of those.
Anyway, I'll lend it to you and you can have a look for yourself.
Yeah,
well,
thanks. Yeah, thanks. I'd appreciate that.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, it is Julia Hardy Brewer, and I have got two barrels, and you can have the both if you call SB44991000. I am putting the smile in the voice. No one's convinced. There's no such thing as coming
by me! So many things to talk about, actually, tonight. But I was you got me off on horror films there.
Go on.
I started thinking about horror films. There's so many films that I start thinking, yeah. And then I get about 20 minutes in and I'm like, no, can't take it. I couldn't take The Babadook.
Oh.
I thought I could take that.
A friend of mine
that.
Is always going on about The Babadook. Oof. So much so that he says we should not speak its name. It's so terrifying. But I never watched it.
Oof. It's not nice. I tell you what's not nice
is
about
Is this another
it.
One like Candyman? Like one of these sort of... creatures that you're not supposed to say, and then it turns up.
Well, do you know what? It's kind of like, you know, when The Exorcist came out, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people were very, very disturbed.
Oh,
upset
my parents were found it terrifying.
But here's the thing. Well, I was quite gratified to learn. I did some research about this for another thing.
Okay.
People's main cause of distress watching The Exorcist was not all of the supernatural nonsense.
Uh-huh.
It was seeing the kind of horrendous. Physical medical procedures that the girl has to go through when they're doing all the tests.
Yeah.
Particularly, there's a thing called pneumoencephalography,
right?
Whereby they take out your brain fluid and replace it with air, and then they have to rotate you on a gurney and do an X-ray, and that was what they had to do before MRI.
Right.
And it was apparently excruciatingly painful. And that was what people objected to. And that's the thing. That was the thing with The Babadook. It's like, it's basically, honestly, I think it's basically about postnatal depression.
Oh.
And that's what's disturbing, is seeing like a mother and a child just not getting on. That was, it was like, okay, I can't take that.
Right.
Can't take it. Couldn't take it. I don't mind all the supernatural nonsense. Having said that, have you seen The Woman in Black?
Yes.
Oh!
Right, there was a television version of it, and they put it on at Christmas. Do you remember this? That gave me nightmares, because there was one scene in it where he's in bed.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, her face is right there in front of him in the darkness.
I don't like jump cut business.
No,
I don't, unacceptable.
And that's what did me in. And I must have been about 12, 13 or something when I saw it. And it terrified me. All that sort of stuff. But yeah, The Woman in Black, even the one with Harry Potter in, was quite scary.
Yeah.
And I find him quite unconvincing.
Not scary. Yeah. Would you like to hear
but
my
But that was
impression?
Quite a good film.
Would you like to hear? Cause he's probably still on stage, right? Because he's doing a stage show. It's just down the road.
I do
he,
have a lot of affection Harry for him.
But... Oh, yeah. Would you like to hear my impression of him acting? You ready?
Yeah.
He was their friend. He was their friend! That's my impression of...
Uncanny.
I know. Well, I before the film came out, before I don't know when the I didn't see the TV thing.
That must have been early 90s.
A friend of mine bought me tickets to see it on stage and said, I got to warn you, this is quite scary. And I was like, okay, sure, a play is going to be... Yeah, yeah, a theatre, an auditorium filled with people and I'll be scared. Yeah, okay, yeah, that'll happen. I lost. So I screamed like.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like, proper, like, ah! Couldn't handle it.
Excellent screaming.
Couldn't take. Absolutely terrifying. If you haven't seen it, it's brilliant. You should. Go and see the stage show because it actually works brilliantly, brilliantly well.
It's. And that's a really. And that's another thing. That's a kind of. That's really about grief, isn't it? That whole that.
No, it's about being scared, witless by a ghost woman. Like I saw that, and at the time I was working in London, in central London, in Soho, in this mad office, and it was like on the first floor, above a restaurant and stuff. And I was working all the hours there were. I was working from like 9, 10 a.m. till 4 in the morning. Like it was just insane, this project, and most of it I was doing single-handedly. It was a rotten TV show called Zed for Fake, which fortunately no one remembers. But I'd end up alone in this office, and I always had this mounting dread as I needed to have a wee, because I was going to have to go down this long dark corridor to the bathroom. And this memory of the woman in black, you know, when he's going up and down, there's this long sort of...
Well, that's the whole thing, right? A lot of it's candlelit.
Yeah. And... If I had just heard a kind of... I honestly couldn't...
I don't believe in anything like that, really. But I do remember on one occasion, it was probably about 10 years ago, there was a slight earth tremor in the UK.
Okay.
Right? There was an earthquake. Really slight, but enough that it woke me up, and the bed was shaking.
Oh,
and not in a good way.
No,
the bed was shaking, and my first thought on waking up, just in that moment where you're from sleep to awake, was poltergeist. And I'm a really reasonable person.
Yeah,
but that's where my brain went. How funny.
Yeah, it's weird how readily your mind wants to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody who, Jumble Sailor, says apparently the pneumoencephalography scene in The Exorcist wasn't a realistic representation of the actual procedure. I'm
well,
glad to hear that.
Hope so.
Yeah, yeah. And Nat says, if you want to see a good film, watch The Fourth Kind. Best film ever, I think. I don't know what that one is.
Is that like...
I don't know.
Close Encounters of...
The Fourth Kind. Yeah, it was the sequel. It's absolutely tanked. Which apparently was...
That was like a Facebook poke.
It was facts, yeah.
Do people still poke? I've not been on Facebook for ages.
I have no idea. Yeah, that was a weird thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's like, I've got nothing to say to you, but hey.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I've got nothing. I have nothing to offer you.
Love me.
Other than a sort of beg for your attention. Jumble Sailor carries on to say, that said, they do perform a carotid angiogram where they draw blood from Reagan's neck.
Ooh,
okay,
that poor
thanks
kid.
Very much. Yeah, thanks very much. I don't know, why are we so drawn to them? I don't know. Michael says, have you seen the film Wolf Creek? I was reminded of it today when I saw the news report. Oh, God, yeah, that was horrendous. No, I haven't seen Wolf Creek. I'm not going to finish that thought. I don't know. I just get drawn to it. I get cocky. I always get cocky. I think I can handle it. I can never handle it.
I haven't seen a good horror film for ages. I think the last one that really surprised me was The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, okay.
Which was, I thought, was really stylish. Yeah. And
are you
going to
another one of those 0.3 of a second spoiler alerts?
I'm not going to do one because we all know. And if you don't know, you need to watch it. It's great. But the rest, horror films, you know, you can see the punchline coming up over the horizon. A bit like Paul Burrell's revelation today.
Oh, that was the one!
That everyone saw coming years ago.
An exclusive in The Sun. And only an exclusive in The Mirror. And an exclusive in The Star. And an exclusive in The Times.
But not an exclusive in anyone who can see and
I've got
hear.
It here. I've got it here. This is in The Sun today. I told Diana I was gay. She was the only woman who knew.
No, she wasn't.
Don't think so, darling. To use your own turn of phrase.
Oh, she really wasn't.
Mm, and do you know something? She said, I knew. And that was her. She just knew.
We all knew.
Yeah, we all knew, mate. Do you know what I mean? Honestly.
Well, anyway, good for him.
Do you watch Through the Keyhole?
No.
They did a Through the Keyhole of his house.
Did they? Was it all pristine?
No, it was. Oh, it was a bit strange.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was quite cluttered, actually.
Did it have a cupboard full of other people's possessions?
It had. No, it didn't.
Did it have a little altar to the people's princess?
No, it had some very strange things in it, and lots of things with Union Jacks on it, and there was a musket, I think. No, like a drum. It's not a musket.
If they did Through the Keyhole on you, what would be the strangest thing they would find?
Well, it's a bit like that because I'm trying to sell my house at the moment.
Yeah, so you hide in certain things.
Everything, as much as possible. And it's that always, you know, that scramble when the estate agent calls and says, hey, could you do a viewing tomorrow? Yeah. And you go, yeah, I can get all the blood and chicken feathers off the wall. No problem.
We live like this. Don't open that cupboard.
Yeah. We're completely, no. So, it's sort of normal. The house, we've made it look quite normal. You know, ground floor. Normal. First floor, normal. Top floor.
Don't open that.
That's it's like, and this could be a really lovely master bedroom. What it is at the moment is a really weird space spattered with paint and covered in wigs and...
Wigs?
Yeah.
What have you got?
What?
Wigs?
Just
for fun.
Well, no, for filming things, like sometimes so the whole of the back, like, it's a really beautiful.
Because that doesn't sound weird, right? Because sometimes I film things up here.
The back wall. It could be a beautiful master bedroom. It was when we moved in, a beautiful bedroom. Yeah. Now it's just, there's a feature wall, which is the back wall, the main wall, which I have painted. The Dulux colour match system is excellent. Shaman Dulux. It's chroma key green. You know, green screen when they film stuff to get rid of. It's painted that so that I can get rid of the background,
oh
right?
Oh, my.
And there's like studio lights. People must think,
what the hell is he doing up here?
Why has he got wigs? It's like he's just a bit needy and he does stuff on YouTube. It's fine.
Wow.
So it's a bit. It is. Yeah. Bit, I can't think why we haven't sold it yet.
Well, just needs the right buyer.
That's exactly what my estate agent said. We had a bit of a showdown with the estate agent.
Oh, really?
A little bit of one. Because it was like, dude, what's going on? It was like, you've had like 10 viewings, haven't you? I was like, we've had four.
They saw the special room.
And
with the wigs.
And the thing was, all he had to do was just very gently push back, you know, just gently push back and say, well, you know, you've got to bear in mind that there's a lot of properties out there that's the season we're coming into and blah, blah, blah. But he didn't. He just fell apart. And said, "What do you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing the best I can, and you know, the girls, they book, you know, as many as they can. And like, at the end of the day, what can I do? Like, if they don't come, I can't. It's not. It's like, oh, dude,
this is your job, mate.
Yeah, just relax. You know, I'm just having a whinge. You're supposed to just go, oh, I understand, sir, and then we just carry on.
Yeah.
But instead, he just crumbled.
On a bad day. You got him on a bad day.
I think it's always a bad
Would it kill you to magnolia that back wall?
No, I think I might have to magnolia.
I think
the back
you
wall.
Do.
I think it
needs to be. I mean, meet him halfway, poor lad.
Yeah, and the blood and the chicken feathers.
And the wigs.
And the wigs. Mm. Mm. Yeah, no, so, no, I think I need to...
You do. You definitely
I can't remember how we got onto that. What were we talking about before?
You being weird.
No, it wasn't about me being weird. I'm
it
not
was
weird.
Through the keyhole.
Through the keyhole. So, yeah, that would be, what about you? What would be the weirdest thing in your house?
I've got an array of weird souvenir mugs.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. I've also got a collection of novelty Barbies. The children don't know about because I don't want to find them stripped off sitting in a camper van tracksuits on or something.
I imagine.
Because it's supposed to be Diana Ross.
Like tonight, there being a power cut in your house and your kids with a torch just exploring the house and then finding them like that.
If they ever find them, it will be like, you know, in Reservoir Dogs when they open the the briefcase and the light comes up. Because I've got Diana Ross. I've got Wonder Woman.
Amazing.
I've got Catwoman. I've got...
all of them.
I've got loads.
0344-499-1000. I'd like to know what's the one thing you just wouldn't want found if through the keyhole came to your house. 0344-499-1000. And we will pick this up once we catch up with the latest news headlines coming up after this.
Talk radio.
What would you least like Keith Lemon to find in your house if you went on through the keyhole? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. I'm thinking the contents of my fridge, actually. It's not good. Anyway, let's catch up with the latest news headlines, shall we?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm in.
What did he call you? Funky, but neat?
I beg your pardon?
Did you say funky, but neat?
Funky, but neat. What's it? I don't know. I don't know.
Do you want me to rewind it for you?
Can you rewind it? Yeah, go on.
What's that?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, what does that mean?
Ways of making you talk.
Here we go.
Online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Is that funky as in the smell?
But very neat at it.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Funky but neat.
That's
all right.
Like a description of someone's area.
It's maybe you're the neat one and I'm the funky one.
Well, I'd rather that way than the other way around.
Well, I thought you would. That's why I offered it up. Look, it is Jake Yap in for Ian Lee. Funkiness and neatness aside, there's not much of either. It would be fairly remiss of me, though, not to wish a very happy 71st birthday to Mickey Dolenz.
Oh, is it his birthday today?
Yeah.
He is.
See, if I'd been Ian Lee, I would have tweeted him and said, "Happy birthday, mate!" And then he would have tweeted back because I'd be Ian Lee. And then I could be like, "Yes!
But the thing
Mickey
is,
Dolenz, hold on, has tweeted me." And that's what he'd do for like half an hour because he's very good at that.
Well, he'd probably rung him up, to be honest.
Oh, there we go. He's probably helped him blow out the candles.
He probably has.
Unbelievable.
If he wasn't on strike, I mean, he'd be all over it.
Blooming strike.
Gosh, 71. But, you know, Mickey Dolenz, you know, I'm not who is as big a Monkees fan as Ian?
No one.
But Mickey Dolenz's voice has not changed, and I've heard a lot of older artists, and you can always tell the voice sort of goes down an octave or so, you know.
Mickey
Dolenz has got an amazing voice still, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So good for him. 71.
Yeah.
Can't imagine being 71, can you?
Yes. I feel it. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Jerry has called us. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
How are you? I'm all right.
Yeah, just imagine if Ken was on through the keyhole. Imagine what state this place would be in. Ken.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I'm sure Ken. I'm sure it's lovely. I'm sure there's a lot of.
Because you know what cleanliness is next to.
Toilet.
Godliness.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
Jesus.
What's neatness and funkiness next to?
Probably the mark of the devil.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ and Matthew. So Matthew basically says, anyway, did you get me a picture of your mash?
I did get a picture of your tea, yeah.
Oh, did you get a picture? Yeah. I didn't see it. Can I see?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
Oh, what did you have tonight, Jerry?
A bacon wrap.
That's better now. Okay. Now they're talking.
That's a return to form, isn't it?
A meringue with peaches in.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, because the peaches don't do fruit.
You don't do fruit?
No, it's sweet. Is it? No, I used to drink coffee, got Parkinson's, so eat crap now.
Eat crap. Oh, I've just seen your fried eggs.
It did look like two. It did look like.
It looks like a crocodile, doesn't it?
Well, it looks like a very angry Simpsons person. It's got two big goggly eyes and then this sort of, I mean, this blob of.
This flare.
It's like Higgins had gone wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Oh, God.
Flare.
I'm glad you turned your nose up. You had chicken instead, didn't you?
Yeah, it's six pieces of chicken. Six pieces of chicken. I felt like chicken last night.
Sweet.
I feel like chicken last night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you know the guy C3 Mail at The Shining? It's the voice of Hong Kong Fui.
It's the voice of Hong Kong Fui?
Who was?
Yeah. The guy C3 Mail.
The IC3 Mail. In which film? Yeah. The Shining? No.
The Shining. Next to the Neighbour. It's a voice of Hong Kong Fui.
I did not know that.
Good start.
Amazing with 70s crap trivia. Have you done a book quiz? Won't get any prizes. On the BBC, can't give them away.
Yeah, well, you can't give much away anymore.
The most successful... You're a good man. I like you. You're funny.
Oh, that's very nice. Oh, thanks. That's very kind of you. Needy. Needy is the word that usually springs to people's mind, but that's very sweet of you. Thank you, Jerry.
I don't know. The horror films, Mentioned Swim Before the Shining, where the kid floats to the window.
Oh,
there's so many.
They let him in. What did he let him in?
I can't take The Shining. I watched that once. I don't need to.
Like
see
you say,
that
too many jump cuts. Too many.
The jump cuts moments when something's suddenly there and then it's not.
Like
that's
the,
not
the
okay.
Horrible. Well, the nudie lady in the bath that turns
nudie
out to
lady,
be.
Nudie lady, the Howling.
Oh, God, horrible.
The Howling. Find the bomb, thanks.
Do you like horror films, Jerry? Is this the sort of thing that you do?
No, that's what I went to see with Blair Witch Project.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
smutty mood in the camera.
It was. There was a lot.
Last question for you. If you were a Mr. Man, what Mr. Man would you be?
If I was a what, sorry?
Mr. Man.
If I was a Mr. Man, Mr. Needy. No, I'd be, I don't know, probably Mr. Messy.
Mr. Bump, I'd be. Yeah, Mr. Bump. I've covered in bruises. I've got one on my leg at the moment, like an old lady, like old ladies get when they have a fall.
Oh yeah, those big aubergine-y ones.
Yeah. I get those all the time because I'm virtually see through. I'm so pale, I'm see through. I banged my leg the other day. It was bad. I was downstairs, and we've got like a turnstile effort, haven't we, to keep ISIS out, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And it's working so far.
I touch wood. Yeah. I came back through the door, and there was a load of lads, and I think they were part of some sort of a band from Virgin. Anyway, the last lad coming through the turnstile in the opposite direction said me first, obviously thinking elderly woman, let's let her through. And so I started to go forwards, and the thing hit me, it closed all of a sudden because obviously it had let a load of lads go through, and slammed right into my leg.
Ow.
Right, and it really hurt, and everyone saw, and the security guard went, oh, Catherine, you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
I got into the
lift and had a little cry and a good rub of my leg.
And that's what ISIS would have been doing.
Looking
up. Having a little cry and a rub.
Yes.
Jerry, Michael's texted and said, you're talking about Scatman Crothers. Yes.
Yeah.
That was the guy. Yeah, he was great.
Just quickly, I got stuck in the chainsaw out of Stoke City.
Did you?
Yeah, give me 5 minutes to get out.
Oh, God.
And people took him one way or the other because he went to get into the bloody football match.
Oh, God.
People got no patience.
The humiliation, Jerry. The humiliation.
I went selling my arse in the car park.
You what?
Chase him Parkinson. He just fell down anywhere.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've got no such excuse. I'm just flipping clumsy.
Yeah, but at least we know we're safe from ISIS. Jerry, it's been good to talk to you tonight.
Okay, take care, you too.
All right, you take care. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. We should talk about this Vault 7 thing that's happening, right? Although you look very troubled.
No, I'm not troubled. I'm not troubled. It's all good. Ooh, is that you or me?
Your stomach says... Your stomach begs to differ. You've got a mood stomach.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, are you all right?
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, sure?
Yeah.
This Vault 7 thing. It's a story in the news just now.
Vault 7.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this is a massive WikiLeaks thing that's happened.
Right.
And they're saying it's bigger than the Snowden deal. Mm-hmm. It's 8,000 pages of stuff or documents documenting all the hacking and cyber activity that the CIA has been doing.
Is this the thing that includes the television apparently being able to be used for...
smart TVs, yeah.
Samsung ones.
So it says the CIA has the ability to break into Android and iPhone handsets and all kinds of computers. And it would mean that they could monitor... They could basically activate your microphone and listen to you. And, yeah, smart TVs they could use. One of the most eye-catching programmes, this is from The Independent, eye-catching programmes detailed in the documents is Weeping Angel. That sounds medical. That allows intelligence agencies to install special software that allows TVs to be turned into listening devices so that even when they appear to be switched off, they're actually on. Are you kidding me? I mean, really. They explored hacking into cars and crashing them, allowing nearly undetectable assassinations. Yeah, suddenly the driverless cars thing doesn't sound like such a good idea, does it? They didn't report vulnerabilities to companies like Google or Apple and stuff, meaning that those phones were still vulnerable and other people could figure out those hacks.
It has to be said that all these companies are denying this.
Are they denying that?
Well, I think, yeah, the CIA has said that they're not going to comment on this.
They're calling it Year Zero.
Oh.
So there you go. That wasn't me. Oh, it was me. I bet I rolled over a thing.
It was the CIA.
Newspaper websites. Guys. Oh, my God. They're listening right now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We're on the radio. They're supposed to be able to listen right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's fine then. I won't worry about it.
The thing is with WikiLeaks,
yeah,
a lot of it is unprovable, isn't it?
I mean, everything's unprovable now. You just don't know who to believe, do you?
Well, I know who not to believe.
Oh, do you not believe then?
Don't believe Trump, not for a minute.
Do you not believe him?
No, and I don't understand why anyone would need to bug him. But just watch his Twitter feed. I mean, it's just what occurs to him the moment it occurs to him.
Have you seen Stephen King has been trolling Donald Trump?
Yes.
Have you seen those tweets? They're fantastic.
Suggesting that Obama's in the cupboard with a pair of scissors.
Yes.
He's never left the White House.
Brilliant. All done in exactly the sort of nuanced style of Trump tweets. The novelist Stephen King has been saying, Obama tapped Trump's phones in person, in capitals. Yep. Went in wearing a Con Ed coverall. Michelle stood guard while Obama spliced the lines. Sad!
Sad.
Not only did Obama tap Trump's phones, he stole the strawberry ice cream out of the mess locker. So, that's great.
The thing is,
yeah,
what I'm learning, and we did the thing about the flat earth, and mm-hmm. we've done the thing about, you know, we've talked about Trump.
Yeah.
And no matter what anyone throws at either of those theories, by way of, I don't know, what sounds like, to me, rational theory.
Yeah.
There'll still be people who defend it and say, yeah, but you would say that. I don't believe you.
But this is the problem. This is the problem. You know, there was this whole problem when every time the New York Times published a story.
Fake news.
Against Trump. Yeah.
Fake news.
Saying, but look, he's done this. And Trump would say, no, but they would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And it just deepened the chasm.
Yeah, who do you want to believe?
Yeah, well, that's the point, isn't it? People are electing to choose the facts that they like, that fit their narrative.
And a lot of people that selected Trump did so because they don't trust the status quo. And so that they want to hear an alternative.
Yeah. That's why he's got 8 years, I'm telling you.
You know, don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
think?
You got to let me finish the job. I got to drain the swamp. You've no idea how far the corruption goes. It's unbelievable,
guys. Didn't he say he was going to have ISIS sorted by now? He did say like 32 days or something, didn't he? Hang on, let's look it up.
I can't remember. I don't
know. Yeah, because a few people said, it's been 34 days. How's that going?
Glaswagger says that we need Professor Joseph Levin's opinion on the WikiLeaks news.
Yeah.
Who's Joe? I know Joseph Levin's. I know.
Of course, everyone knows Joseph Levin's. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think he's been arrested.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
And C. Jester has tweeted a picture very thoughtfully of Dick's Pizza. I think that was what he had for his supper. I don't know. It says, you haven't eaten pizza until you've eaten... No. And we were all asking earlier about what would be the worst thing to be found if Keith Lemon came and did through the keyhole in your house. Andrew says, dear Jake and Victoria.
Okay.
Don't know.
That's my sister. My sister's called Victoria.
Oh, weird.
Maybe he's a psychic.
Just like the others. If Keith Lemon came through my keyhole, he'd find an 11-year-old jar of Marmite and a 14-year-old jar of Bovril. So, Amanda, that's impressive.
Yes.
You must really not like it that much. I mean, why did you buy it 14 years ago if you like it that intense?
Does it get better with age? I imagine Marmite might.
I would imagine Bovril does. Mm. You know beef tea? Have you ever had beef tea?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Because where I used to work, I used to, a very long time ago, present a programme that was all about people and places, history and heritage, right? And we did this thing about, where was it? oh God, this just goes to show how much attention I paid. Yeah. A local house where Florence Nightingale had spent a lot of her youth. And she, of course, was one of the people who thought about the well-being of the soldiers.
The Crimea. Yeah.
And one of the things they sent over there was beef tea. So he brought over this beef tea for me to try. Flipping heck! You'd have to be hard up. I mean, gosh.
It's basically just fizzy broth.
It's just, I mean, it's only just an alternative to drinking your own wee, frankly. But it was supposed to be fortifying, like, you know. It was beef fat with water.
I am looking for an alternative because I'm getting very tired of doing all of that.
Oh, those poor lads. That was supposed to be a treat, beef tea.
Oof, yeah. Lads, the relief truck's here with treats for you. It's beef tea.
When my friends were serving in the Gulf, I sent a few Mercy parcels and I was directed to send them, you know, gin and tonic cans you can get.
Yeah, yeah.
Send those. We love those. But space them out, because if you put them all in one box, they'll get apprehended by the fun police.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How genteel.
Yeah.
Genteel.
They fancied that. I mean, you would. It's hot, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Ice and a slice. Fabulous. We'll be back with more after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Young, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, it's neat and it's funky. It's Jacob and Catherine Boyle live until 1 o'clock tonight. We've got more Choose Your Own Adventure erotica.
Oh, good.
I'm pleased to say we had some suggestions.
I bet we did.
Which I've fully taken on board and embraced. And you'll be reading out at 1:45. Also, we've got Good Morning China just after midnight. There's a nice message here from Dan. Onto this story about an estate agent. They really are. They just... Guys. Come on, guys. Guys. A little exchange between him and his estate agent. Mm-hmm. Estate agent. Oh, things are being held up by your solicitor. Me. You're sure? Estate agent. Yes. Me. You're certain? Estate agent. Yes. Me. Okay. I'll take that on board. By the way, did I mention I'll be babysitting the solicitor's children tonight as he's my brother-in-law?
Estate agent
looks at the floor and blushes.
Yeah, I bet. I remember once being shown a flat which I was assured would be fully furnished. And we looked around it and it was one of those... Oh, God. We walked up the steps and it was one of these flats where there was... the contents of other people's flats out on the landing. So if you got tired, you could have a sit down or a lie down. There was actually a mattress outside my flat. This will all get moved.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it will.
Yeah.
Went into the flat and that was the only place where there wasn't a mattress actually inside my flat. And I sort of said, well, so where's the bedroom? Where's the bed? He banged on the wall and it came down like one of those Laurel and Hardy beds. Yeah.
That's cool.
That almost sold it to me, but I could imagine myself getting trapped in there all day, like James Finlayson. But that's pretty cool. I mean...
Yeah, I'd like one of those, but because it's point, it just takes up the whole room all day.
And it was a small flat and it was one of these where, you know, it's basically all in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah.
But that was a neat trick. Banging on the wall. Bed came there.
I want one of those now. I've been looking at a few houses because I'm trying to move house and stuff, and went and looked at one the other day. And it was a second viewing of this house, and it's an amazing house, but I mean, it's a dud. It needs a lot of work done to make it not fall down.
And did they gloss over that and say it was an amazing space?
Yes.
Lots of potential.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. And parking for 5 cars amidst the rubble of what used to be your home. So we're going upstairs, and I said to the guy, I said, this loft conversion in the attic space, did you find out from the owner anything about when it was done and all the rest of it, and whether there was any paperwork to accompany it? Uh-huh. He's like, no, haven't heard anything back yet, sir, miss, yet. And I said, okay. I was walking up the stairs, and to get up to this thing, you walk up the stairs, you have to, like, stoop and bend your neck, because the roof... The clearance is like less than 5 feet.
Right, okay.
Like, I'm not tall. I'm a stumpy guy, but it was not. There was no clearance. And I just turned to the guy and said, this can't be legal. It just can't be legal. Mm. And he just went. I was like, come on, dude, you've got to have a line ready for that. It's like, just be better at lying. I mean, that's your principal job, is to lie. Honestly. Anyway, we've been asking also, what would Keith Lemon find if he came through...
Your keyhole.
Door. Yeah. I don't quite understand this one. Sycamore says, if Lemon came through the keyhole, he'd find a mate's elliptical in the hall, which needed storing for a couple of days. Christmas 2015.
What's an elliptical?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up. Is it something?
And then
is it a trainer? It's like a cross trainer.
I'm guessing it's
something. All right. Okay, I get you.
Anyway, I thought we'd talk about this story, right? This was in The Sun today.
Britain's finest newspaper.
It certainly is. Actually, it's a great read. And this is an exclusive about...
It's not about Paul Burrell, because that's not exclusive.
Strictly rip-off. Guess how much it costs to get a selfie taken with some of the people off of Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, my. Not DeBeck. I'm sure he does it for nothing.
It will cost you... £400.
What?
Yeah.
What, for DeBeck?
No, not for DeBeck.
Not Tony Beak.
Let me see how much DeBeck is. But basically, if you were to get a photo with, like, everyone off of it...
All right.
It would cost you £400.
Really?
Yeah. So you have to pay £70 to go to see Strictly Come Dancing the Spectacular.
Okay, well, look...
And then
okay.
You can do a souvenir snap backstage, right? So it's... I don't know how they arrived at this figure... if you want Darcy Bustle or Craig Revel Horwood, Craig Revel Horwood, £26.80.
What?
Is that the cost of arrive at that?
Is that the cost of two spritzes and a G&T? Because, you know, if they're including the cost of getting into the venue.
No. You pay £70 for a ticket.
Right.
And that gives you, and then you get backstage.
I like dancing and that, but £70.
I know. But you could always get one with Oti. Is it Oti?
Yes.
Or Nitali Lowe.
Yeah.
Is she the Australian one?
Yeah.
That's only £21.80.
Even so.
What's this 80 business?
The 80, just bumping it up.
Yeah.
Also, how are you paying for that? What, in pennies?
If you want Judy Murray, £15.
Get lost. Really?
Yeah. What would you charge for someone to have a photo
nothing,
taken with you?
Nothing. When people ask for a photo, you know, because we do events.
This happens for you.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I always take the camera off them and expect to be taking a photo of them with their mates. You know, it's a surprise when they want a photo with me. I'm not going to charge for a photograph, for heaven's sake.
I wished I did. The one time it happened to me, which was in Edinburgh last year at the festival, and I was playing... and it's called the underbelly, right?
Yeah, so I've been there. The underbelly.
No, yeah, so do I mean that? Yeah, I do mean
that. Yeah, that's part of the university, right?
Yeah. And so I was in the Wee Coo, which is just a posh porter cabin. Anyway, so I'm walking down through this sort of complex, and there's bars there and stuff. And it was a very exciting moment for me, obviously, in my life, where this guy and his girlfriend, this guy goes, oh, Jake, yeah? I'm like, yeah. I always assume it's like customs and excise or something. It's like, oh, I love your stuff. I love your stuff. I was like, oh, thanks for it. That's right. Oh, thanks. And stuff. He said, can get your photo. Can take a photo with you. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. He said, oh, man, this is so cool. Because I really love And his girlfriend's taking the photo and stuff. Gets the photo. And I said, so, oh, brilliant. Are you coming to see the show later? And he went, no, I'm going to go see Showstoppers musical.
Oh,
I was like, okay.
Right, okay.
So that was just an opportunistic photo thing. You're not really a fan.
Well, yeah, he is.
He has no intention of coming.
Do you know what? He'll get paid forward. Maybe in future he'll come and see you.
No, because I chinned him. I ended up, I spent the night in a police cell. So there you go.
Yeah, well, that's a bit...
I'm trying to think of people I would pay to get a photo with.
I wouldn't pay anyone. I'm not that bothered about... I don't get the whole photo thing.
I don't really understand why
either.
Why do people stand in front of things and have their photo taken? This is me standing in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Look at it with your face.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, why? I don't understand. What's it about? Why do they do it?
Because I think that there is a thought these days that if you don't document it, it didn't happen.
Yeah, but with Photoshop now, that's why I've got my green screen upstairs.
You could be anywhere.
Eiffel Tower, Great Wall of China.
We don't need to go anywhere.
Me and Craig Revel Horwood save yourself £21.80.
And he might have his eyes closed after all that.
I also think there's this sort of weird thing where people sort of want to... It's about people flattering themselves as to what they are and who they are, right?
It's kind of that, and kind of trophy hunting, isn't it?
I guess so.
I mean, it could be worse. There could be chopping your head off and mounting you. In that order.
It's a shame it's that order. Corrine on Twitter says that she charges by the hour and it's extra for her clients to video.
Well.
Okay, then.
Girl got to make rent.
Yeah. She does it with dogs.
Oh.
I know her.
Okay.
She's like a trainer. Okay. She trains dogs and stuff.
Okay, so right. Yeah, fine.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
That's fine.
And I've forgotten how Happy Tree's name is pronounced. Lucatil.
Just call him Happy Tree. For
Happy Tree. Says, yo, my name is Beef Tea. I got the meaty rhymes. Don't give me no vegan option because I ain't got the time. Check it out. Catherine and I went for supper earlier.
He had something surprising in his pocket.
Yeah. And when I pulled it out, there it was. Mayonnaise.
And
everywhere.
He took his own cheese slices, not real cheese.
Yeah. Yesterday I took my own mayonnaise, today I brought my own cheese.
I mean, tomorrow he's just going to bring his
I'm
own.
I'm going to get the whole absolutely no. Why am I giving money to these people when I'm bringing my own?
He didn't even hide it when the waiter came over. He
literally didn't care.
The cheese slices were there, brazen.
Yeah. So he could see some defiance in my eye.
Yeah.
Of like, I dare you.
I've never seen.
He was dead eyed. He'd had enough, hadn't he?
I mean, I've worked. I was a waitress at one point, but I always tried to put a little bit of oomph into it.
Mm.
And you know what? He was trying, but I could tell he hated it.
I think he put some oomph into my burger. We'll be back in 45 seconds.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Dan said, who was it that headbutted a punter at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2009? And when a copper asked the MC, he said, I don't care, but he did overrun by 15 minutes. I don't remember that story. Don't know anything about that story. So now, Google it. Let me know. I'd love to know. Michael wanted to know, was it Cheese or Gary that I took to the restaurant? It was Gary. Technically, it was Gary. Gary is... Kath is looking at me like, what are you talking about?
No, but I kind of know Michael's tweet, so I'm concerned about the alley he's leading you down.
No, there's nothing wrong with Michael's alley. It's a fine alley. It's... finally. It's... Gary became for a while, it was a sort of term for vegan cheese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
It's nothing like cheese.
Because this woman pasted this... Well, there you go. This woman pasted this rant on Facebook saying, I am sorry, but all these people calling this vegan stuff cheese. Guys, it's not cheese, okay? Call it whatever you call it, Gary. I don't care, but it is not cheese. It has not been made with milk from a cow. It's not cheese, okay? It's not cheese.
Okay.
And all the vegans in the world went, okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well.
And just decided to call it Gary. So Gary became a bit of a buzzword for a while for vegan cheese.
Wow. I don't want to eat Gary.
Why not? Come on.
No.
Couple of drinks. I had a cheeseburger. It was very exciting. This is my new favourite thing. If you take...
Does it melt the same as cheese,
yeah,
Gary?
Some of it does, yeah. If you take a sealed new packet of cheese
all right.
to... Pizza Express,
uh-huh.
they will put it on a pizza for you and cook
hey,
it properly.
Here's a thing.
Yeah, go on.
A boring thing.
Okay, yeah, do it.
But I'm going to get it out there.
Why not? Why change the tone of the... Yeah.
I bought a Pizza Express pizza from the supermarket today thinking I would treat myself.
Mm.
Now, normally I enjoy those. They're kind of... You know, they taste exactly the same as the ones you get in the restaurant.
Do they?
On this occasion, though, I think they've changed the base. It's a bit thicker. I didn't like it.
Mm.
I don't think I'll buy another one. It was like... It's like a kid's pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Kids, well, like made by.
Because the Pizza Express pizzas I normally enjoy get thinner in the middle.
Do you like the Roma crust?
I love the Roma crust.
Romana or what is it called?
I don't know, but I just thought it was standard crustage. But this was thick all the way through and I didn't like it.
I like a nice thick
crust. I say thick, it was like less than a centimetre, but still more than the usual.
We'll take it back, babe.
Too late.
Take it back.
All right, give it a couple of days.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Fine, yeah. Yeah. Pizza. Yeah.
Delish.
It is. So, that's going to be my new favourite thing, is taking mayonnaise in my pocket.
You might want a smaller jar, I'm just saying. As far as a line, you saw, trousers.
I was massacring that stuff. You saw, I troughed my way through half a jar. It's disgusting. I mean, I don't know how you maintain your composure.
Well, I'm used to all kinds of things working on this shift.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you are. Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, it does attract a certain...
Yep.
Type of...
Yep.
Yeah. Lenny Henry's in the paper today. That's fresh.
Why?
I think he's... fundamentally, I think it's because he's plugging some new show he's got on somewhere, because he's been in a couple of papers.
But what are they flagging up,
so
that he said?
It's got to be a PR thing. He says, fringe joke that I was getting mugged by an old lady, but to be knighted is a wonderful thing. He's talking about Her Majesty the Queen.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who cannot answer back.
No.
To sass like that.
No.
Unbelievable.
She wouldn't.
I don't want to be harsh about Lenny Henry. Obviously, he's a national treasure, but I think I'm going to be. First off, let's stop with the backwards beret business, all right? Because I got into a lift with him last week.
Is it a beret or is it a flat cap?
It's like a backwards beret.
Okay. What's he doing?
I don't know. But that needs to stop.
I mean, he does look good for his, I'm going to say for his age, which always takes away from a compliment, but he does. And what is he, 50? 60?
I don't know.
50... I better check it
TV
out.
Funny man, Lenny Henry.
Well.
I'm just looking for where it says it. It's bound to say that. 58.
Sir Lenwood Henwood, isn't he?
He does look good, 58. But I feel like he's drifting a bit. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what to do. Because he sort of tried to do, like, he sort of gave up doing sort of comedy, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, Theophilus V. Wildebeest.
And then a few years ago, he did Shakespeare.
Yep.
And that came and went, didn't it?
Well.
And then he tried to reinvent himself as a blues man.
Did he?
Did you not? On Sky Arts, he did this whole series. I became a bit obsessed by it.
Okay.
And it was him walking around going, this music is just so great and it's
jazzy.
So much to me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know when you see people who go to the gym and they've obviously spent like £200 on gym wear and sports bottles and waterproof headphones.
All the gear, no idea.
There you go.
That would be me for about 3 weeks and then you'd never see me again.
Well, he'd obviously hired, like, put together the best goddamn blues band you could possibly have, right?
Right.
So, like, these were ace musicians.
Was it just an excuse for him to show off?
Well,
yeah.
So he's talking.
But you know what? I can't hate him for it. If you can, you should.
He kept singing this song that just went, I am. Man. And you could see all these really amazing musicians kind of going, think of the money.
Yeah.
Think of the money. I mean, it sounds harsh. I don't want to be harsh, but it's like, Lenny, you just don't know what to do with yourself anymore, apart from lying down in beds in King's Cross Station for money. Like,
I would. I totally would.
I would do that. I'd do it anyway. And there's not even a bed. It's just a pool of my own vomit. So, stick that in your pipe, Lily.
The older I get and the more desperate for money and the more I see my mortgage not depleting, the more I cannot hate anyone for doing whatever it takes... Frankly,
he surely paid off his mortgage.
Oh, I would never do that. I would never lower myself. It's all about integrity. Nah, do you know what? If they're going to give you enough cash,
But this was not about cash. That's the point. He was obviously bankrolling this whole blues band and stuff himself. The guy's got money to. I'm sure at 58, he's paid off his mortgage.
Do you reckon?
Kath, yes. Matthew says, I think the words you're looking for regarding Lenny Henry is self-absorbed. Lenny peaked a very long time ago. That's harsh. Plus, and this might be contentious, I don't know, I think the blues sucks.
It's not supposed to be fun. Is it? Come on, it's not supposed to be fun.
No, but it's like, you know...
It's the music of a forgotten people. That's the whole point of it. It's supposed to be voicing your pain.
But it's like, you know...
It's not for you. I don't think it is for you.
Lord, I hate blue singers. They sing the same line twice.
Do you remember when Eric Clapton was a blues man?
I said, Lord.
You can't be a blues man. Where's he from? Essex?
They all do it. This is the other thing. It attracts a certain demographic of person. Hugh Laurie.
I know. I mean...
What were you thinking?
No.
Eric Clapton. Lenny Henry.
He's good on the guitar, Eric Clapton.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, he does... To be honest, for me, he wangs on a bit. But there's no doubt in his talent.
Yeah, it's all a bit noodly after a while, isn't it? But, yeah, of course,
it's brilliant. You don't get women guitarists doing that.
You don't get women guitarists that much, do you? Apart from, like, Chrissie Hynde, who's brilliant and just writes good songs and gets on with
it. Susie Quattro.
Joni Mitchell.
Mm. So you do get women guitarists, but they just don't seem to bang on as much.
No, of course they don't.
To me, the guitar solo is a bit...
It's an extension, isn't it? Yeah, it's just a massive extension.
They're just...
And the men lap it up. There's this whole...
Check out how much I practice.
But there's this really... Can I tell you about my theory about alpha males after the break?
Please.
I'll tell you about my theory about alpha males after the break.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello. 20 minutes time, we're launching Britain's earliest breakfast show, Good Morning China.
Yeah, can you remember how to say that in Mandarin? You did learn it yesterday, didn't you? It was something that sounded like a question at the end, wasn't it? Well, A...
It's too hard, man.
Try again later. By the end of the week, I want you saying it.
Stuart Wigan will teach us in 20 minutes time here on Talk Radio. He's going to be live in Beijing and talking to us about some of the less well-known aspects of life in China. Mm-hmm. And we've got our interactive Choose Your Own Adventure erotic novel that continues. A little pot boiler in an hour's time. Kath's really looking forward to that. So we were talking about bluesmen.
Yes.
Wielding their axe.
Yes.
Twanging out their licks.
What?
On the guitar.
Isn't a lick a funk thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, riff is rock and a lick is funk.
I just don't get it. And here's the thing. You were basically saying, I think quite rightly, that those extended solos on the guitar with the neck of it thrusting forward. And
yeah, basically self-pleasure.
The wrist coming into the fore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all know what it's all about, really.
Well, yeah, they're pleasing mostly themselves. Come on.
They are.
Or but as I also, phrase it, wanging on.
They're all... or off.
Yes.
They're mainly pleasing themselves, but they are also pleasing predominantly... other men.
Right, okay. Right, like the silverback.
So
how do they show dominance?
Right.
They get their old...
this is the whole alpha male thing. And this is what I think most men have a very strong homosexual streak to them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't think it's necessarily about a kind of a pure sexual attraction thing. I think it's about establishing a societal hierarchy, right? So you've got your alpha males. And in our society, that's rock stars, footballers, actually some comedians. And what you find is you get blokes just adore these thrusting alpha males,
some
right?
Some blokes do.
Most blokes.
Really?
I think it's fair to say most blokes.
Do you think that Donald
Most blokes like football, rock and roll.
Birds. Do you think that Trump is an alpha male? Because I don't.
No, I'm not convinced by him as an alpha male. And that's the problem, is he hasn't got the presence.
He talks it, but he's not really, is he?
No, not really. Anyway, I think that in a more primitive society... And I know that Ken would back me up on this.
Oh, God, don't invoke.
I reckon, you know bonobos, right?
The monkeys.
The monkeys.
Which ones are they? They're not the ones with the red faces that sit in the cold springs in Japan, are they?
No. They're very ape-like and they've got sort of pure jet black fur.
Let me just Google.
And they haven't got like the, they haven't got the really weird like pink and blue bottoms or anything like that.
No, we're not talking baboon.
Anyway, they're highly, highly intelligent. Are like super intelligent, oh. And they can use sign language and stuff. They've taught that like they can drive golf carts, and they know how to make fire and all of this
stuff.
That
looks like a chimp to me.
Amazing stuff, right? They've done all these experiments. There's an amazing TED talk about bonobos that you should have a look at sometime. Right. And as part of this talk, this woman who works with them, she says that the main way that they resolve conflict within their community is sexually. What I'm saying is,
what, in terms
I
of-
think that
have the, some of that.
The undercurrent of all of the alpha males in society, right? All the blokes who go to watch blokes jiggling about with their guitar on stage and stuff, out of respect for that man as an alpha, I would let him have a go.
Really?
Yes, I'm telling you, man. Yeah.
No.
Totally. That's the whole alpha male thing. It's like, yeah, fair dues. You're the alpha. You're going to have a go, mate.
Because I think that a lot...
The most staunchly heterosexual blokes.
Really? Because, you're Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. You're Boland.
Yeah, I'd let him have a go. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just thinking of, like, the fame... Okay. George Harrison. Mm-hmm. They weren't really...
George Harrison was not much alpha. Of a posturing guy.
They weren't.
Though. Mick Jagger.
I don't think they're really alpha. I think there's something quite feminine about those men.
Like those guys, you know, like the sort of those real kind of like big hair rock, like Van Halen-y kind of Bon Jovi stuff.
Well, even so, no.
He's the alpha. I'd let him have a go. He can have a go if he wants. He's the alpha.
Gene Simmons.
There you go.
There's an alpha.
I'll totally let him have a go. Just out of respect. He's the alpha. Fair deuce. I'd let him have a go.
Really?
Yeah.
There's something in that, but I think it's a flawed premise.
All blokes posture and want to be the alpha, right? They all have a go.
Yeah.
And then, like, all blokes who are really into that kind of, the whole alpha structure, that buy into it, that want to be the alpha.
Yeah.
They go for it up to a point. And then when they know that unequivocally another bloke within that environment is the alpha, they just totally give way.
Are you listening to this and thinking this is bullshine? Because there's something bullshiness about this, isn't there?
0344 499 1000.
Because I think a lot of the, as I was saying, I think a lot of the musician, something about being a musician leads to a sort of a feminine side, I think, a sensitivity that's not present in your average alpha.
Yeah.
So I think there is a flaw there, but I kind of get what you mean, especially about those guitar solos. It is displaying, it's peacocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Emphasis on the. It is though, isn't it? It's peacocking.
On the ing. It's the only. It's the only syllable that's okay. King. So, yeah. I think, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. You're the alpha. Come and have a go if you want.
Really?
Yeah, totally. And that's why they obsess over them. Blokes love it. Oh, Clarkson. Ah, oh, brilliant, isn't he? He can have a go.
Oh no.
Yeah, fair dose.
See. If Clarkson, right, Clarkson's the alpha, is an alpha, right?
Yeah.
I find that really unattractive.
Oh, it is.
No, and I'm not talking about him physically. I just, the whole thing, that big overgrown schoolboy thing. I find quite unattractive.
But blokes
love it.
Love it. Some, and what's that all about?
Some blokes love it.
Like, I had this experience, right? I did NCT classes.
Oh,
right?
Gosh,
National
yeah.
Childbirth.
Yeah, I did that the first time around.
And really nice group. Of people.
That is
what
you pay for. You're paying for a nice set of friends.
Yes, you are.
You are.
And, you know, quite a few of them, I'm not going to lie to you, it's probably going to be a short-term lease. But some of them, you know, they're keepers.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was this one guy, right, who I think was used to being the alpha, right? So he's like a policeman, quite senior. In the police force, you know, sort of oversees big things.
An inspector?
Like big conferences and summits and stuff with world leaders and stuff. He organises
that.
Oh,
blimey,
right. So he's top dog, right? And obviously he's used to walking into the room being the top dog. Mm-hmm. And there we all are. And he's like, right, okay, you know, I'll do that. And he's a nice guy. He's a really lovely guy, don't get me wrong. But he's like, yeah,
he's
okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then somehow... you know, we've been talking stuff, and it's like, well, what do you do? And I sort of said, well, I, at the time, my main income was doing excitable voiceovers for trailers on Dave. And when he found out that,
He was like, oh, no, all right, you do it then. No, you do it. And I was like, just backed off.
Why? You thought...
Because suddenly I think in his eyes, I become
higher.
The alpha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In
wow.
The whole kind of like doing some comedy business with putting nappies on dollies. He was like, ah, no, right, no, you do it. Yeah, yeah. He's the funny man. Let him do it.
Oh, wow.
Instantly back down. And I was like, well, it's okay. I'm not, you do it. I said, it's fine.
Not funny.
Yeah. Blokes are weird, man. Man.
I like blokes generally. I get on better with blokes than girls. But that's because I had bad experience at school and the girls were a bit mean.
Mm.
But generally, I find blokes simpler
well,
to work
say,
out
they're,
than
they're
girls.
Much, there's much fewer moving parts.
Yeah.
There's only one, really.
Although
and that's
I do
on
have some
day.
Really good female friends. I'm really good female friends. I'm not saying I'm like a man's woman or anything like that, but I do feel more comfortable generally knocking about with the boys. I was always one of the boys.
Mm.
Until a certain point at which my boobs started to arrive.
Excuse me, there they are.
Hang on a minute, what's happened to Kath?
You just sign for them, please, yes. weird. Yeah, no, I couldn't get on with the boys at all. I was hanging out with the girls playing
Did
hopscotch.
You?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tried. In the playground, I tried gamely to play football and, get it.
Oh, yeah, I must admit, it wasn't those boys that I used to hang out with. I was, hanging out with the Morrissey type boys.
You were probably the girl that I would have hung out with in
yeah,
the playground.
Normal.
Just yeah, just like I'm not. I can't do all that.
I can't do that. I hate
do
netball.
Yeah.
I hate netball. I didn't like netball, so I wasn't sporty and I wasn't cool. And then you got to a point where it was all right to be like that, and actually you realised that was normal.
I think I'm yeah. I'm only 2 or 3 months away from that now. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good moment.
Netball's rubbish.
What?
Netball.
You've awakened a memory there of... I was waiting for my mum to pick me up, and it was like late, and it was after school, and there was the netball team, and they were practicing the playground. And I was sort of waiting in a little alley that sort of led to the playground, and I could see them warming up, and they were doing stretches, lunge.
For lunch, yeah.
Lunge stretches. And I remember watching it and thinking, God, I wonder what that's like. I'm going to try that. And so I tried doing a lunge thing, and then one of them saw me and pointed, and they all turned and laughed, and I ran away.
Yeah, cruel sport.
Yeah.
Netball.
Yeah, still there.
There's only two good positions in netball. That was my problem. And it was goal attack, goal shooter. The rest, you just bit parts. Couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. No, you don't, yeah. Oh, it's netball anyway. What's the
you have
point?
To hold if you've got the ball, you have to hold on to it for maximum 3 seconds and not move your feet. What kind of sport is that?
It's a rubbish one. That's what it is. Crafty Moo on Twitter says, "I just googled bonobo images. That was a bad idea."
Yeah, there is a major feature.
And Dan says, "I'm wondering where Phil is. It Linnet or Linot?
Potato,
comes
potato.
On your list.
I don't know.
Was he? What was he? Which one's he out of?" I can't remember which one he's out of. Phil, you know the one. He's in that thing, right? Come on.
Look at us cool kids.
Finn Lizzie. There right. You go. Yeah, fair dues. I'll let him have a go.
Oh, I know who he is.
Yeah, fair dues. Yeah, he can have a go if he wants. Yeah, fair enough. Am I wrong? Am I right? Come on. I know people are listening. 0344-499-1000. Are you a heterosexual man who, just out of sheer respect for an alpha male like, I don't know, John Bon Jovi.
He's not alpha.
Oh, all right.
He was quite pretty.
Jay-Z. Or maybe even like David Tennant.
No! Shut up. Your idea of alpha is weird.
George Clooney. There's one. Would you let him have a go, just out of pure respect? 0344-499-1000. That's a fair question, I think.
Do you mean, why have a go? Do you mean what I think you mean?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
No?
No. Well, but what do I know? I'm not a man.
I am. And I'm telling you. I'm trying to think more, like, blatantly
alpha
males.
I would think of Seagal. Right, Schwarzenegger.
Jonathan. Okay, fine. Yeah, all right. Yeah, any of them.
But not any of the people you've named.
All right, David Beckham.
No, he's not.
Wayne
no,
Rooney.
He's an alpha.
I don't know. All right, David Hay.
Vinnie Jones.
Oh, give over.
He's alpha.
No, he's not.
He'd have you for saying that.
No, he wouldn't.
Dyer.
No, he wouldn't. He's a pussycat.
Whoa. He's a pussycat. Right next to Talk Sport. One of these days he's going to come in and I'm going to tell him exactly
fine.
Where you
are. Do you know what? Fine. That guy is a... I don't believe a word of that stuff. 0344-499-1000. Who's your favourite alpha male? And would you let them?
Would you?
Good. Coming up after the news, we've got Good Morning China. It's Britain's brightest, breeziest, and frankly earliest
China
breakfast show. And that's going to be happening in about 6 minutes' time right here on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Now, there you go. Good evening, James. He's texted us and says, Clooney could have a go for a coffee, but I'm not a slag. Thank you very much indeed, James. Which alpha male would you, as a heterosexual male, allow to have a go and why? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Let's catch up with the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Very good morning to you. It's Wednesday morning now. And it's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee all this week, Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And we've been asking if you're a heterosexual male, what alpha male would you allow to, and why? It's quite fascinating, some of the reaction that's come in. The great Raimondo says, no, I wouldn't let them have a go. Not sure I believe you. Jamie says, I'm sorry, I can't ring in, cause I'm at work, but Jack Nicholson. And no. I don't believe you. And Michael says, my favourite alpha male is Dale All Male Winton. And yes, I would. Again. I don't believe that either. But thank you very much indeed. Dan says that he dealt with an alpha male sportsman who came into his clinic. And as soon as he mentioned having an injection into his foot, he went white. And Alex says, I'd let Tom Hardy have a go, but he'd have to ask me first. And I'd also have to actually understand what he'd ask me. Hashtag mumble. Does Tom Hardy mumble? I don't watch dramas. I can't get behind dramas anymore, apart from Spiral. Now, that's a good drama right there. Anyway, give us a ring, man. 0344-499-1000. And I don't want to exclude women from this, but I just feel like women just don't fall for this idiocy. I mean, is that fair to say? Are you a woman? Do you tire? I tell you what, now here's a good question. Are you a woman? Are you a heterosexual woman? Do you have a partner who you watch kind of adoring some kind of other alpha male? And do you ever wonder to yourself, why? He's got all those wrestling videos. What's that all about? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. It would be delightful to hear from you. I'd be pathetically grateful. Now, we started this yesterday and it was a big success. And I thought it was great. What with China becoming, the world's new superpower, and particularly with the news today about South Korea and missile tests and America and deals and stuff, let's face it, there's going to be a massive war. And if we don't die, we're probably all going to end up having to speak Chinese. And someone who can do that is a very charming and funny man called Stuart Wigan, who lives in Beijing. And we thought that we should get in there first. This is an opportunity for us. It's slightly speculative, but we thought we'd have the first breakfast show for Chinese people in Britain, because of course it's just about 5 minutes past eight in the morning there. And so, in the style of GMB, Good Morning Britain, I'll be Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid, and here it is. Here's my pentatonic jingle version of the GMB theme tune.
Good Morning China on Talk Radio.
And so here with a roundup of everything that's going on in China right now, it's Stuart Wigan on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want me to say that in Chinese to you?
Yes.
Okay, Jacob, Zhao Zhang Hao. I actually said your name there as well, the transliteration of Jake. Although it wasn't, it was just Jack, because I don't know Jake. But there we go. Zhao Zhang Hao.
What I find really impressive, because I've seen some of your videos online, and we'll tell people where they can go and find them in a minute. You really go for it when you speak Chinese. And is that something that you have to do? Because I think British people are really bad at kind of diving in when they're speaking foreign language. So if they're talking French, they'll say, bonjour, je m'appelle Jake, instead of kind of, bonjour, je m'appelle Jake. You know, like, did you find it hard to leap into the sort of Chinese idiom of speech?
Well, kind of. The thing is that Chinese people are very unforgiving if you say something wrong, because it's tonal. So if you say it in the wrong tone, then it has a completely different meaning.
Oh, really?
You end up saying you could end up saying obscenity, and actually you're saying something very innocent. So you really have to, you know, drill down. Because I've said a few obscenities in meetings before, by accident.
Ask our producer, Kevin. Can he say a Chinese obscenity? No. No, he can't say that. Okay, fine. Well, thank you for... Perhaps another time, somewhere else, you can tell us some Chinese obscenities. I'd love to know some Chinese obscenities. So there's a couple of things to talk about today, Stuart, and there's some government meetings going on.
There are. It's two-session fever. I'm sure the fever has washed over the British Isles as well.
It's all anyone...
Two sessions, no doubt.
It's all anyone is talking about here is the two-session fever. What are the sessions and how do they work? It doesn't matter if you don't know, you can just make it up.
I mean, I'm sure you already know. I mean, you just giving me a chance to talk, aren't you? The two sessions are government meetings that take place every year. They're met with a mix of excitement from the media and indifference from everyone else. So that's about it.
That sounds like most things. We've got the budget tomorrow.
It's the same thing, isn't it? There's less anger that gets produced from the two sessions because a lot of the things that go through it are already pre-decided.
Are the two sessions, are they just general sessions? I mean, does anything specific get discussed?
Well, what happens is there's one meeting called the MPC, and that's full of officials, and then there's another meeting called the CPPCC, and that is officials and others, so academics and celebrities and, you know, like a cross-section of society. And that used to be quite interesting because people would turn up wearing, like, Chanel and Gucci or, you know, just exciting clothes. But recently, because they've had the crackdown upon lavish luxuries and corruption and things like that, you know, basically everyone just dresses the same now, so it's less less of an event.
Yeah, not so much of a red carpet kind of a thing.
Still very important.
Yeah, of course it's important. I mean, as I say, it's all anyone's talking about here. Piers Morgan did a good 12 minutes this morning on GMB about it. Just went off on one about the two sessions. And then, tell us about, I don't want to say it because I know I'm going to say it wrong. Lei Feng. Is that right?
You got it right. Lei Feng. Yeah. So at the start of this week, it was Learn from Lei Feng Day, or for the majority of those listening that speak Chinese, it was Xue Lei Feng Ru. So I'll tell you who Lei Feng was. This guy in the late 50s, early 60s in the Chinese army, and he did lots of good things for people, and lots of photos were taken of him, just, you know, off-the-cuff photos. They were beautifully lit, and the framing was perfect.
But completely candid, really.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, it was just lucky that there was a photographer around. But yeah, he was darning socks for people, or maybe, like, mending a crate, or washing a car.
Mending a crate.
And he just set a good example for everyone. Unfortunately, he died in 1962 in his early 20s after a telegraph pole, or allegedly after a telegraph pole landed on his head. But anyway,
a cover-up, isn't it? That sounds very dodgy.
No, it's legit. This is all legit, Jake. Right, his life lives on, and the idea of him being a great citizen has lived on until today. And you know, you get posters of him in his PLA garb, and all on the subway, or you see him around, saying, learn from Lei Feng. And every year, people are encouraged to learn from Lei Feng and do nice things with people. Only one day a year. The other days, you don't have to. But on that day, you're meant to be a good citizen.
And did you learn from Lei Feng this year?
I tried. I went out. I dressed up as a Chinese soldier, which...
That takes some nerve in its own right, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that gets... Yeah, some people think I'm taking the... Yeah. But anyway, so I went out dressed up as a Chinese soldier and I held a big sign with some bad, pretty bad Chinese writing. My writing looks like a child's writing, apparently. And it said, I can help you if you want. And then it gave all the options, like clean shoes, walk your dog, and lend you money, could teach you a lot of options. I can help you break up with your girlfriend. And I just stood on the street and just asked people if they wanted help. Not many people wanted help. I got a few hugs from old ladies.
That's not bad.
I sang a few songs. Unfortunately, no one Chinese song, so, and it's Happy Birthday, so I ended up singing that continuously to about 30 people. But it was a success, overall success.
And you filmed some of this, and people can see it online, can't they? Filming things like that, like the first sort of, I think the first 45 minutes to an hour is hard as the dignity is slowly flensed from your body. And then
I'd just like to say, the video is not 45 minutes to an hour. It's only 5 minutes, just in case that put anyone off from watching that video.
Oh, right, yeah, no, sorry, yeah. I mean, the experience of filming it. Obviously, it's all edited down into these very snappy videos. But when you're filming the first three quarters of an hour, it's quite excruciating, and then something inside you finally dies, and then you sort of feel quite liberated to do it. Or is that just me?
Less liberation. I was just focusing on going home, really. The more people I could help, the more we could film, then I could just go home. It wasn't a very nice day. It was overcast, a little bit smoggy, yeah, and windy. But, it was okay. It was all right. A lot of people ended up being quite responsive in the end. When you speak Chinese to someone, they appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, they must do. They must have, because I can't imagine many people speak Chinese as well as you, like Westerners out there, right?
Oh, far more people speak it better than me. I mean, far more foreigners. Also, 1.3 billion Chinese people as well, yes.
But, yeah, they're obviously quite good at it. Yeah, I don't know.
They are all right at it, yeah.
So what does your day have in store today? What are you off to do? It's coming up for 8:15 in the morning. What are you off to do today?
Today, we're actually going to go and film another video about the two sessions. And because it's about the two sessions, I will, of course, be dressing up as a zombie at some point, and that's not a joke. That's actually going to happen. And then next week, you will, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can actually see that video of me dressing up as a zombie in order to explain something about the two sessions.
Man, I would be hitting the rice wine if I was doing your job. Brilliant. How can people follow you on Twitter?
Okay, so my Twitter is China Comedy Stew, STU. That's all one word, China Comedy Stew. And you can find me on Facebook as well at Comedy in China.
Brilliant. Well, we wish you luck. Good hunting. Good luck with the zombie business. And we'll catch up tomorrow morning.
Okay. Bye, Jane.
Exactly. You put it as far better than I put it.
Bye-bye.
How do you say it again?
Zai Jian.
Zai Jian.
Almost. Good enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Good morning, China, on Talk Radio.
So, 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. I would like to know if you, as a heterosexual male, or as the partner, the female partner of a heterosexual male, what alpha male would you let, have a go? Because I just think it's a thing. I think this is all about hierarchy. It's not about sex. It's not about sexual attraction. It's just about sort of respect for the hierarchical nature of alpha maledom. Some great stuff's come in. I had no idea this was going to go in this direction today, but there you go. James says... Tom Hardy did a CBeebies book at bedtime, and I totally would. Turns out I'm a slag. James, you're not a slag. I respect that.
CBeebies. I mean, that's a... Yeah, you don't want to get into that, do you? And Jamie says on Twitter, I've given it some more thought, and Daniel Craig could have a go. There you go! Kath's face lit up. I like that. I've got a direct message, and I'm dying to read that now, but I should probably read ahead. You can't just go storming into things like that, can you? Without checking them first. Are you a heterosexual male who otherwise is attracted to women, but there's an alpha male out there for you that you just think, well, I just idolise him, and just out of sheer respect, fair enough. Do you sort of wonder about your partner? Jimi Hendrix, I think that's a big one for some people. That's a big one. And, why not John Bishop? I mean, after his tour on the Nightly Show this week, I mean, that guy's gone through the roof, hasn't he? I don't know if you've been watching the Nightly Show. It's awful. It is awful. It's an awful TV show. Here's the thing, though. I think they should carry on with it. Because I think they need to... I'll come on with my theory about it in a bit. We'll have a break first.
Jake Yap, in for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Very good morning to you. It's Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee, all this week until Friday. And... It's a funny one. This one, we're asking about alpha males, and you may be an otherwise staunchly heterosexual man, but what alpha male is the one that you? Oh, okay, fair enough. Out of respect, just out of a hierarchical respect. You know, you'd let them it's brilliant. Some of the stuff that's come in. Thank you very much indeed for all your stuff so far. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, it's @TalkRadio. Or @JakeYap, YAPP. Or you can just phone us up. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Bunce on Burner, says that it's not about alpha admiration. It's about wanting to be in a gang, safety and security, and knowledge and verbaling aids your status. I don't fully understand them, but I get the gist of what you're saying there. Thank you very much for that. However, lots of other people are saying, there's loads of these. Crafty Moo has got in touch, and she says, I'm fairly sure my ex wouldn't have said no to Bruce Willis if he ever made it to Stevenage. Bruce Willis! Who could forget The Return of Bruno? Now, there was a seminal album. Wow. I thought that was the coolest album ever when I was 11. Bruce Willis, he's a funky, groovy guy, and he's hanging out with a very solid crew, and they are laying down some seriously badass tracks. And then I listened to it again about 3 years ago on the bus, and I was like, wow, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. Which is good, because obviously one hopes one would have moved on and changed from when one was 11 years old. I tell you what, why don't we talk to Dan. Dan's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
How lovely to talk to you.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. You're a long-time listener. First-time caller?
First time for a lot of things, mate. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you buy into this whole, my theory here of the alpha male thing?
Actually, I don't, because I'm not actually altogether sure what an alpha male is. I mean, I used to ride a 1200cc motorbike. Uh-huh. I'm, to quote several people, built like a brick outhouse or a big unit. But I've knitted since I was a child. I've spent my life as a teetotaler, so I've seen a lot of what you might think of as macho male behaviour, but I know they've got several pints in them. Mm. I went to dance school as a kid, and I loved to dance, and then I found myself dragged into a completely different country at the age of 14, and I saw a lot of macho posturing there that I didn't think much of, but I managed to keep myself safe.
Well, let me pause you there. What mm-hmm. dance and what country? What kind of dance did you do?
I was a tap dancer. I was a tap dancer
How far
Betty
did
Finch, Betty Finch's back bits and pieces? But I danced afterwards. I made the usual kind of stage school.
How far did you get with your tap dancing? Because I got a silver medal somewhere in a cupboard.
Oh, I can't remember. Because the other thing is, I very much, maybe it's tied into my attitude. I mean, I never even turned up for my graduation, for my degree. I've never been interested in stuff like that. I haven't got, because none of that has ever interested me. I spent 35 years basically working with children with special needs and being one of the few males in a room. And I've also never understood that trope that said, you know, men can't manage nappies. I saw brand new male members of staff managing nappies perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I've avoided chess, but I played in goal and I could handle myself. And yes, if you kick me during a match, there was a good chance I would take my opportunity, you know. Mm. But I've just never understood this whole idea of macho.
Isn't it all about organising us into, you know, handy categories for marketing, fundamentally? I mean, isn't that really what it's all about? People don't, you know, we don't really want blokes to acknowledge that blokes are perfectly fine with nappies, because demographically it's just easier to market all of that stuff to the women, and then to the blokes you can market all the, you know, gadgets or cars or whatever.
True. I mean, I found it strange because in so many ways, my old man would have been. My old man came from a mountain farm in a hard area. His only sport was tug of war. In so many ways, he was a very, you know, he ruled with an iron fist. And yet in so many other occasions, if someone came to the farm and asked for the boss, he'd point towards my mother.
Yes.
And whether that was as much because he didn't want to deal with people, you know what I mean? And this was a man who could terrify people. This is a man who only had to look at people, and I've seen him back down, because there was something very dangerous about him.
You see,
whether that was macho or not, I don't know. But my friend says that I've got a pair of blue eyes that if I give them and let them turn cold, I've watched kids that are just going to go, right, maybe we've pushed this, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But she said she knows that it's all a game, that isn't me. I'm just not altogether sure. I mean, I found it fascinating moving also from London then. After all my travels, I ended up moving from London up to the northeast, which had a fair... And this was just after the miners' strike. This was a fairly macho. And I was crucified because a girlfriend at the time sent me flowers. And this was from two ambulance drivers with every name of every kid tattooed down their arms. You know what I mean?
Mm.
The same lads that I worked with doing to, but, you know, they just couldn't get their head round the idea. And now I watch, it really is a very bro-y city, Newcastle. It's a great city.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe it's a generation and I haven't seen a generation grow up somewhere else. But I've watched how tight the men round here bond.
Mm.
And I don't see it as macho. I don't see it as gay. I don't see it, you know. But then I've never really been a belonger.
But, you
so
know,
maybe
in a funny way, I'd put it to you that I think a lot of alpha males, I mean, if we're talking about this in a sort of semi-serious way, I think a lot of alpha males don't necessarily always know that they're the alphas. Like, that there's lots of people who set themselves up and proclaim themselves as alphas, but they're not, like Donald Trump is a case in point. We were talking earlier with Catherine, but he's not really an alpha, not intrinsically, not inherently, not innately. Whereas it sounds to me with you that, you know, a true alpha doesn't feel a need to fulfill all of those
like,
machistic tropes. Is quite comfortable with the idea of doing tap dancing or whatever, because you know what, I'm perfectly comfortable in my own skin, and that's the hallmark of an alpha, isn't it?
It's like
David Beckham wearing kimono or the saris or whatever it is he wore, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, you could very well have a very valid point there. I think you're right. Maybe it's more the person who's pretending to be the alpha male is the one who's shall we say, appendage swinging, and we've all seen plenty of those. And as I said, on the other side, from being a podiatrist, I have genuinely seen a guy walk in and turn three or four female heads on the way in, coming in, Mr. Bombastic, and then I've said, I've got to put an injection in here, and watch them turn snow white.
Yeah, that would be me. I mean, not the first part, but the second part.
Or an accident. I mean, I know that I have a friend who recently, sadly, her daughter witnessed a stabbing, and all the macho blokes are running around, but she's there dealing with this guy, making sure he doesn't die.
I was finding it funny. You know when you get like David Blaine or Dynamo and they do that street magic? And
I don't have a telly. Okay. I've only heard of the guy.
Well, they do the street magic and stuff, and they'll do it, and there'll be like these real hard-nut blokes standing round. And sometimes they'll do it like in front of like American footballers or whatever, like these really big built blokes. And you think, well, they must. And he'll do a little card trick or something, and it will freak them out so much that they will just run away screaming.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
So, well, it can be, exactly. I think it's just, as you say, alpha male. I think you're right. I think you're even right about Vinnie Jones. I've always thought that anyone who takes that much sneering, you just think, back it up, son. Yeah. And no matter what, let's walk you through a morgue and see how tight you are. Let's walk you through. Okay, I'll tell you what. The last time I was truly scared, and I've always said since I've been really ill, I cannot be truly scared, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. My mate's little one was born at 1 pound 3 ounces.
Wow.
I made a candle the same weight as her. I stood in this room full of little babies, and I was terrified that anything I would do in any way, shape, or form. Mm. And I don't think I'm any less man for admitting that.
And of course
you're not. Terrified. And, you know what I mean? So what's a macho man going to do with that? Because, you know, we used a bicycle light to look through this child. Gosh. She was that small. You couldn't x-ray her. And now she's 5 and giving me cheek and I'm the best sliced bread. Bless her. She won't be a basketball player and she'll have her problems. But I watch... Yeah, actually, when I think about it, I give you her as an example because it's that pig-headedness that I watch that child rush into things, the fearless fashion and the stubbornness that I would give you any day of a macho, because that's not only what kept her alive, but picks her up off the ground every bloody time, pardon my French.
No, it's fantastic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's true macho.
Absolutely. It's that drive, isn't it? Dan, we have to leave it there for a break. But
good to talk to you.
Really lovely to talk to you. Thanks very much for calling. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. I've got a very funny alpha male story coming up after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, indeed. Very good morning to you. It's Jake Yap and Catherine Boyle.
I love Distracted Dan. I've never heard him speak before. What a sweet man.
He's brilliant, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's a really nice guy. And I'm very proud tonight to have been a little part of...
Hashtag Radio Blast.
Hashtag Radio Bland. I've got a nice story here for you, Kath.
Go on.
This is from another very obliging regular duty listener that I have, a guy called Matthew, I'll give you a bit of backstory on him. He's done stuff in the army. Like quite a high level.
We don't want to talk about it.
A lot of sort of kind of intelligence data gathering stuff. So he saw every terrible thing that happened in like Serbia and stuff. Like he
knows stuff.
He knows stuff. Okay, we don't need to go into it, but he knows stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, he says my favorite alpha male encounter was shortly after I left the army. I'd recently returned from a particularly nasty combat operation and started working for my father. He sent me off to a new client to get a contract signed. I phoned ahead so I could be prepared, and the client said no prep needed. It's going to be a low-key chat. I turned up, and I was ushered into a posh boardroom with 8 of them. He says it's very nice. Big old oak panel boardroom. There were 8 of them and 1 of me. Their alpha tossed the contract at me and told me it was
a lot of hooey. I'm paraphrasing there.
Wow.
He then leant across the table and said, I guess you feel quite intimidated, don't you?
What an idiot.
I explained that 6 weeks previously I'd been taped to a chair by murderous warlords who put an AK-47 in my mouth and demanded I give them negotiation info. I mentioned that at this point I felt intimidated, but I didn't concede any negotiation points. I suggested that we all had a nice cup of tea and got on with the meeting.
Calm the hell down.
He wilted and definitely would have, yeah, would have. Yeah, so thank you very much for that, Matthew.
I have a friend, possibly, you know, he's probably the toughest guy I know.
Oh, yeah.
He's he was in the SAS.
Oh, crikey.
The best karaoke singer you have ever heard in your life. Sings with passion. Sings. I mean, he is just... And that's the point, right? A real man, a real tough guy.
Yeah.
But... not out to prove anything. And that's where the power lies. That kind of... You touched on it with Dan. Not proving anything. I mean, that guy that your Matthew is talking about there. Yeah. Just classic. Mm. I'm going to get my wanger out on the table. Because actually, he's the scared one.
I could tell you a story about proper sort of household name entertainment TV presenter.
Oh, yeah. Go on, it's late. There's no one listening.
Really?
You can give him a pseudonym.
Okay, let's call him Joel Edwards.
Who could this be?
Joel Edwards. Back in the days when Joel Edwards was flying high and about
literally,
to start a new
choppers.
About to start a new big entertainment show called the early tea time program. I think. Anyway, they hired like top level writer.
Yeah.
And the writer went there having, you know, written some scripts and stuff for a meeting with Joel. And Joel arrived late. Classic power play.
Yeah. You'll wait for me.
Yeah. And so the guy was sitting there and Joel came in and just picked up the script and said, What the flip is this?
Rude.
This is a load of old
so
poop.
Rude.
And just sort of threw it on the floor. Mm-hmm. And the writer just very quietly said, I don't need this. I don't need to be treated like this. Goodbye. And just got up and walked out.
Yeah, good luck with that, Joel.
Awesome. Yeah. And where's Joel now, eh?
Well...
whoever Joel may be.
Since he's been writing his own stuff, he's not been quite so successful, has he?
That Joel, eh? I don't know who I'm talking about. Here's Dennis in Dunstable. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Good evening. One way to bring people down to size is imagine them sitting on the toilet constipated.
Oh, blimey.
You're so right. Do you do that? That's a classic job interview tactic, isn't it?
Think of them naked.
Yeah. Having a bit of a go. Has that worked for you in your life, Dennis?
Oh, yes. I've always had to face people. When I was in the Navy, I had to face people down when they thought they were going to get away with things.
Yeah?
And I dropped them right in it.
Did you?
Yep.
Would you consider yourself an alpha male?
I don't know why. As my wife. We've had a very happy life, and I can't say... Well, I've never thumped her. Well, she'd thump me if I did. I've never done any of that rubbish.
No.
I'm a great one for 50 Shades of Grey, mind you.
Are you really?
He really is. He's read
oh,
all the books.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He's the one
we took to the cinema.
Yeah.
He showed us up, didn't you, Dennis?
Waiting for the next lot coming. I've read the four books. It's four books, actually, not three, four.
It's funny that you're a fan of that, because we've got our own Choose Your Own Adventure erotica coming up in the next five or so minutes.
Well, I think back over my life at some of the tricks I played on young ladies before I met my wife, of course.
Oh.
And... I was fair in love and war.
Did you know when is it Gwen, your wife?
Gwen? No, it's Wyn.
Wyn. Did you know with Wyn? Did you know straight away? What made her different from the others that you played tricks
on? I'd been ballroom dancing for years as a young fella, because I tried not to go, but my mother said you got to go because it's a tradition.
Yeah.
So I was going to go to the cinema, but my mother was crafty. She said, I'm going to ring the academy half an hour after you've gone. If you're not there, don't bother to come home. I went, and suddenly I realised, you idiot, you put your arm around a girl's waist without getting your face slapped. Couldn't keep me away. So up to about 19, I'd had a regular partner, just a partner for dancing. Mm. But when I joined the Navy, she decided, because I wasn't there Saturday night, she dumped me. Mm. So I came home on leave, walked into this big ballroom just outside Manchester, watched these legs dance back, so it appeared to attach to the back of this girl's neck, because it was so long. So I stood watching until she sat down to make sure she wasn't with anybody. And I went over and asked her to dance. Now, she stood up. Now, this rubbish about love at first sight. This was love at first fit. She stood up. She fitted absolutely perfectly into my arms. And I was lost.
Oh.
We danced the night away, and from then onwards, that was it.
Dancing is such a great thing, isn't it?
Well, in our day, that was a way to meet people who go dancing.
That's how my grandparents met. In fact, my granddad was a kind of... He was a docker by day and a dancing instructor by night, like the Patrick Swayze of Salford.
How amazing.
And surprised, I think.
A beautiful mover. I mean, and he was a big fella. By the time I knew him, he was a big fella, but my goodness, could he move? And I danced with him. One of the best moments in my life. You know, those moments where...
I'm staggering around like an old drunk at the moment. But my granddaughter is getting married in July.
You've got to have a dance with her. It's the best. I mean, it's the one of the photographs I'll have in my mind forever is dancing with my granddad. Just brilliant.
Well, as I say, this granddaughter's getting married, and she says when she comes back from her honeymoon, she's having a reception over here.
Yeah.
And she says, my first dance will be my husband, the second dance with my dad, my third dance with granddad. So I've got to get weaving.
Oh, you have. And because you know the moves as well, this is the thing. I know you won't, but you'll know how to, you know, you'll make her look good because you know how to do it. You know, it's just wonderful.
I hope so. I wouldn't make her look a fool. I hope not, anyway. But there we are. That's life. Anyway, what's happened to Ian?
He's on strike for a week, but he'll be back on Monday.
Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike the gentleman who's there now. It's just I like to keep me... Because he did say he was depressed and he was on tablets and things.
Oh, no, he's okay.
He's all right.
He's fine.
And I don't like that sort of business, you know. It's nothing to do with me, but it's such a nice bloke, actually. I know I pull his leg mercifully when he's on, but nevertheless, I like him.
Between you and me, Dennis, he thinks the world of you too, but don't tell him I said that.
No, I shan't tell him.
You
take the union stick together.
Exactly. Nice to hear from you, Dennis.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All the best.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Dennis. After the break, we've got our Choose Your Own Adventure erotica.
Oh, blimey.
Katia decided what was going to happen today.
Katia, I am blaming you.
And we're going to be talking to Happy Tree after this.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, Choose Your Own Adventure erotica on the way between now and 1 o'clock. First, though, let's talk to Happy Tree. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'll be quick because I know we're all chomping at the bit to hear this erotic tale.
Oh, don't take your time, Happy Tree.
No.
Maybe in the light of 50 Shades of Grey, chomping at the bit is an unfortunate...
in a very literal... Are you a good mover? Are you a lively dancer?
No. There was a time when I haven't been drinking for a long time, but when I used to live in France and go out partying all the time, and I was, you know, I had a bit of the drink inside me. I quite liked drum and bass. That gets me.
Oh yeah.
That kind of thing gets me going. But without the drink, then no chance. I'm just sitting at the side.
It has to be said, drink does make drum and bass better.
That helps. I also think having little children around as well, they're always the first on the dance floor, and mine will always drag me up. And it gives you an excuse, doesn't it?
Actually, France do really good multi-generational disco dancing. They do. They have this big open air, like in village squares and stuff. They'll have a disco, and it's really lovely because you get the multiple generational thing. One of the best nights of my life, I was living in southeast London, and there's a place there called the Rivoli. And people sort of, they go there, they get bussed down there, because it's like in the wilds of southeast London, but it sort of survived. Somehow it survived right through from like the 50s and 60s.
What is it, like
onwards.
A dance hall?
And it's a big dance hall, and it's all crushed red velvet, and it looks like it could really use a rug doctor. But, like, it's great, and it's kind of authentic, and...
I
never really knew anything about it. Yeah, people film everything in there.
I just Googled it. It
S Club 7 shot a video. Like, millions of pop videos get filmed in there and stuff. I was living near there, but I'd never been in it. I didn't really know what happened in there. And me and some friends had been in the pub, and it was sort of chucking out time.
And we sort of thought, I don't really want to go home, don't really want to go to a nightclub. And I said, well, I'll go see what's going on at the Rivoli. Right? I've never been there, I don't know. So I ran up there, I trotted up there, and there's all sort of plate glass windows and doors in the front. And it's all brightly lit, the reception area, this sort of lobby. And there's a little old lady sitting in a chair, knitting. And I opened the door, and I thought, I don't know what's really good. And I sort of said, hello. And she said, are you open? She said, oh, yeah, we're open. Yeah. And I said, okay. I mean, what's happening tonight? She said, it's a mix tonight, dear.
Oh, a mixer.
It's a mix. I said, all right, what do you mean? What do you mean a mix? She said, well, straights and gays tonight, dear.
Oh!
I was like, okay, cool. I'll be right back. So I ran back to the pub and said, I don't know what's going on in there, but we have to go. So we went, and there was like a little sort of porthole window in the door.
Right.
Into the main hall. And I looked through, and it was the most beautiful sight you've ever seen. We went in there and I, like, me and my friend cried. I mean, we were drunk, but we cried because everything was there. You had transvestites in there who were dancing with their partners. You had old couples like our previous caller dancing, you know, with people they've been married
to. Old-time dancing.
Old-time ballroom dancing.
Oh, brilliant.
You had kids dancing with their parents. And it was just the most beautiful microcosm that you thought, there's hope for society. If people can come together and do this.
This is the future liberals want.
We can do this. I know. It was pathetic. But I was drunk.
Sounds brilliant.
It was amazing. Brilliant. But, yeah, drum and bass is good too, though, isn't it, Mr. Happy Tree?
My gran's not as into it.
Are you not into the drum and bass? No.
My gran isn't. Sorry, Happy Tree. I cut you off in your prime.
Yeah, what were you going to say there?
Well, I was just running in, actually, too. You sucked me in before I was going to go to bed, talking about macho men and the army. Because I wouldn't have guessed I would end up in Estonia. I'm certainly not working in a military school.
Oh, wow.
And because I was replacing someone on maternity leave, and then I just stayed on after she came back. So I'm a language teacher in a military school. And, you know, you can imagine the army is like the ultimate in alpha male jostling for position. And it's interesting to see them, like, there's some who are more alpha. They've all got to be kind of alphas, but there's some who are more alpha than others.
Yeah.
And the way that they assert their dominance in the class. But with English, it's not so apparent, but when I do the beginner's French classes, everyone is reduced to the status of a child. They can't express themselves at all, and their power is completely taken away from them. And this is something that you have to be very aware of when you're doing the classes, when you're giving feedback on, you know, what they get right, what they get wrong. You have to be so careful. I mean, these soldiers are being trained to kill and go and fight for the country. And one man was crying because he couldn't ask for a sandwich in French. And I'm like, don't worry, man. And, you know, it's like, we're all learning here. And he was like, because he was their superior for other people in the class.
Right.
And he was so ashamed.
Humiliated, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's something that you have to really, you know, these macho men, I think it is all a facade, and it's just inside we're all just little gooey gumdrops.
Well, yeah, and also it does sort of suddenly make you kind of find a new empathy for, like, babies and stuff who don't, you know, can't speak, can't express themselves. You know, it's an awful position to be in when you can't say what you need.
Yeah.
It's terrible. We have to leave it there, Happy Tree, because we've got to leave some space on the runway for our Choose Your Own Adventure Erotica. But thanks very much for calling. Hopefully we'll speak to you later on in the week, Kath.
Yeah.
It's time for chapter two of, what was it called, Love...
Behind the Lines.
Love
or something
Behind
like
the
Lines,
set during the miners' strike of 1984-85, which ended around about this time.
And this is any similarities to Anyone Living or Dead is purely accidental.
No, this is exactly based on Mrs. No. Katia has chosen some of the things that should happen. When we left our heroes,
they were going down the shaft together.
They were going down the shaft together in a tryst. And Katia said, she had two ideas for what should happen next. She said the lift breaks when they want to get back to the surface and they forgot their caftans in the mine. I didn't include that bit. plus, they didn't take a canary. And then she says also they notice that the lift starts working again when they bonk. They have no choice but to bonk a lot in the lift. I didn't quite manage to... When they bonk...
The bonking.
Where?
Don't even.
I didn't manage to work that bit in, but here we go. If you're ready with the music, there, Ed, let's get sexy.
Chapter two.
Here we go.
In the lift, Descending deep into Shitlinthorpe Colliery's main shaft, George and Bess were entwined in a passionate embrace, like, you know, full on, with his hand sliding right down the back of her, when bang! The lift lurched and went into freefall for a dozen feet, sending them both sprawling. "Was that you?" asked Bess, pushing her thigh back into its socket. "Don't think so," replied George, gingerly removing grit from his helmet. "Happened something's happened to the lift." "So we're stuck here now?" "I'm afraid we are, for now," replied George. "Well," said Bess, putting her arms round him, "whatever will we do to pass the time until we're rescued?"
"Probably like a load of bonking in that," replied George.
"Yeah, I sort of thought the scene was going to end with my question about what we were going to do, really. I thought that was suggestive enough."
"Yeah, but you forgot who's writing this muck," replied George.
In the murky gloom in the lift shaft, they kissed, tentatively exploring each other.
There we go. Come on.
George felt Bess gasp as his strong hands gripped her ribcage. Romantic. Squeezing her to him. She could feel her...
It's up to you. You're the producer.
She could feel her nipples stiffening like overcooked prawns. But not like old ones that have gone like mashed potato.
There you go.
Good God.
Beautiful.
As he pressed his frame against her, she could feel muscles sculpted by years of toil underground, not to mention dungarees that were under considerable strain. "Wait," said George, his tone suddenly urgent. "Can you smell that?" "Sorry," replied Bess, "I'm jolly excited." "No," said George, "not that. It's gas." "Are you sure?" replied Bess. "Has your canary gone stiff?" "Totally," replied George. "Oh, sorry, I haven't got one." Meanwhile, topside, their absence was beginning to be noticed. It was Bessie's mother, Fanny Hammerthwaite, flipping it.
Come on.
Who first realised she was missing. After her asking around in the village, she finally decided to go and report her daughter as missing at Shillingthorpe Police Station. It was Inspector Drew P. Kex who was on duty on the desk. "Fanny," he said in surprise as she entered. "Bayek, what's brought thee here then?" "Oh, Drew," said Fanny, relieved to see his kindly face peering over his spectacles. The two of them had grown up together in Shitlinthorpe, although to cut a long story short, Fanny had married the vicar, but he died during a novelty wedding last week, which had a Somalian pirates theme, and had accidentally used live ammunition, which, although it had devastated Fanny, had totally left the way wide open for some proper nasty gubbins with the inspector tomorrow night. Fanny collapsed in tears, the emotion of the day and the relief at seeing a friendly pair of ears having become too much for her.
We might have to leave it there.
Really?
Yeah, afraid so.
What happens next? You decide.
You decide. At JCap on Twitter. I'll work it in. I'll thumb it in. That's all for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow from 10.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.